Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap of the slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
You ready, champ?
I've been ready for this my whole life.
Can you take us out on the field?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
You got your head so far up your ass about that damn football team. You don't get the fact. You just got 1 year of top quality education. Don't be wasting my time.
Paul Perillo.
Do you see that guy over there? Could you maybe wave at him a little bit? Just kind of humor him. Please.
And Andy. And Andy?
I'm sick of being all-time center.
You're sick of what?
Andy Hart.
I'm sick of being all-time center.
Rudy, I told you 5 times. You can't play anything else but all-time center. You're too small.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
Oh, you are so full of crap. You're 5 feet nothing, 100 and nothing, and you got hardly a speck of athletic ability.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You all know what you have to do. Remember, no one, and I mean no one, comes into our house and pushes us around. This is your game now, gentlemen. Let's get them.
All right, that's how I felt coming after that win, protecting our house. Screw the Ravens. Patriots beat the number one team in the NFL on Sunday. What does that make the Patriots now? I don't know. But they have to be in the mix. They're doing it in all different kinds of ways. But one thing they're doing it with is that defensive secondary, and we're going to talk a lot about that. Leading,
you know, that's
in
a pet peeve, right?
What?
As opposed to the offensive secondary?
You don't like
where exactly is the offensive secondary?
All right, whatever. Shut up. Anyway, we're all here. Fred, Andy, Paul, Doc's in the booth waiting for food. And I'm excited about the win over the Ravens.
I was excited because we had a great game on Sunday at Gillette Stadium. That was a great football game.
And I thought the win was actually a little easier than I thought it would be.
Nobody else can see the other team drop the ball on the 10-yard line going in for the game-winning score and say, it was easier than I thought it'd be.
For most of the game, the Patriots had this game in hand.
Are you serious?
Yes.
They had this game in hand.
No, wait a minute. Wait,
Tom Brady needed
it.
We have a lot of important stuff to talk about here in this game.
Right. Cameron Diaz was there.
So I don't want to waste 15 minutes going around in a circle when you're going to finish up saying, right. But are you serious? That's all I want to know.
I thought that
you thought that was easier than you.
When did you give the nod, Paul?
I was obviously wrong.
When did you give the nod?
When should he have given the nod? When Tom Brady kneeled.
10-7 when Jared Gaither got hurt is
right,
when I gave you
that's
the nod.
Right.
I was wrong.
No,
the game ended on the 8-yard line. No. I was wrong.
You really?
If Mark Clayton doesn't drop the ball, we probably lose. My nod was wrong.
That's
I resign.
If the Patriots hadn't gone 3 and out at the end there and given the ball back to the Ravens, we'd be saying they pretty much handled the Ravens. So
you astound me.
I think
it was 27-21. At what point? What indication was there that we handled it? They outgained us. I don't understand you. I just don't. I'm at a loss.
Patriots handled the Ravens.
It was a great football game between two very, very good
football
teams.
I know you're upset about.
I'm not upset,
you know,
Fred. Don't be an idiot.
You know.
Right.
Once again, you're
wrong. I'm going to do what you do. Right.
Once again, you're wrong.
Right.
You know, notice how Andy's not saying anything because
he was wrong, too.
Wrong twice in a row.
Fred, he was wrong, too.
Don't even
right.
believe
but I don't,
your own crap.
I'm not embarrassed by being wrong because I thought both games, the other team was in it. They had a chance. And this game, like you said, the best team in football, where does that put the Patriots? I don't think the Ravens fall anywhere. They went on the road to Foxborough and were within 10 yards of winning the football game. You know, they showed up and proved they're going to be a formidable team all season long.
They're
in the
excellent team, and it was an excellent win for the Patriots.
So
I agree.
Right.
But it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy.
I don't understand how you could do that.
It certainly wasn't
easy.
Easier than I thought
you
it was
going to
be.
You yourself came up with cover words, bird droppings, because their receiver dropped the ball that would have given them a great chance to win the game, and yet you're saying, easier than I thought it was going to be.
No, I'm saying bird droppings because we hit Flacco 10 times.
Oh, is that despite the fact you just told me that the photo on the cover was going to be Mark Clayton dropping the ball, tying the words and the photo together.
Because we hit Flacco 10 times.
And why did Mark Clayton drop the ball? Let's continue with this idiocy.
He saw Merriweather in his peripheral vision.
And got.
First of all, Merriweather wasn't even there.
He got lobster arms.
He got lobster arms. And I go, what the hell does that mean? He goes, no, you never heard that? I go, alligator arms? I go, because it looked like a lobster because he had claws and actually couldn't catch it with hands.
Yeah, and Merriweather, by the way, wasn't even there. It was McGowan that was coming.
Whoever.
Lobster arms.
And I will give Darius Butler tons and tons of credit for two things. Number one, they targeted him with the last three out of four plays of the game, and he stood up and held his ground. I thought was very competitive. But two, unlike the stats department, which is want to give pass defenses for anything.
Even they didn't, though.
Okay. He said, I asked him, I said, can you kind of take me through the last play and what you saw? And he said, well, he ran a great hitch route, and I was beaten on it. And by the time I looked up, to be honest with you, he had already dropped the ball. The ball was on the ground, and McGowan was coming to clean him up. What I thought was a pretty solid game by the Patriots secondary, no one was taking credit for the last play of the game except for Fred Kirsch.
Well, I think that had he
even
gotten his hands on it, there's a chance McGowan might have knocked it away.
No chance.
Or out of his hands.
He
hit him pretty hard, Paul.
Because he dropped the ball. If he had caught the ball, he might have squirted through and scored.
On. He was leaning backwards when he caught it.
And that was the problem, is he tried to run. Did you like to see any of the post-game analysis at all of this game?
Whatever.
Did you listen to anything that anybody said?
His weight was...
The Patriots said he dropped the ball.
Right. No, I'm not saying he didn't drop the ball, Paul, but he wouldn't have had any yards after catch had he caught it.
But that was his problem, is he was trying to run after before he caught it.
Whatever.
So he wasn't about to get hit.
I mean, so the
he
guy,
wouldn't have gotten the hit guy, the way you're saying
the
you
guy
would
didn't
have.
Make a perfect play at the end.
No.
So the Ravens,
no, Fred, Fred,
you know,
perfect
no.
play. The ball bounced off his chest.
You're intimating that he was about to get his light switch lowered, and that's why he dropped the ball.
What does that mean? Light switch
He was
lowered?
About to get killed.
I don't know.
Well, see, you said he has lobster hands, so... Yeah.
You said he dropped the ball because McGowan was about to hit him. He wasn't about to hit him.
You don't
he was well after the fact. He hit him
well
when the ball
after
was on.
The fact.
Yes,
he was after the fact.
The ball was on the ground.
No, the ball,
even they said it.
It was a flat
the
out.
The Patriots
drop.
Said that.
McGowan hit him pretty.
And he
hard.
Didn't get lobster arms. It bounced off his chest.
He got hit hard because he dropped the ball.
Well,
if he caught it and went down, he wouldn't have gotten touched.
Okay, you know, so nothing the Patriots did.
It was
oh,
a great
here we
win.
Go.
It
here
just
we
didn't
go.
Come easy.
I unfortunately didn't avoid it. I tried to. I didn't avoid it. But we get back to the same old thing.
I told
with you.
Andy before the show I'd get you going.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Right before he said lobster arms.
Yeah, that was fake, right? He was only saying that by accident, that the guy had lobster
right.
arms. Right. I'm just going to go with the Fred the
he
rest
makes
of the
up
day.
Terms.
Right.
So. But, no, great win by the Patriots. I think that...
It's terrible that we've gotten into a major argument before getting into the stuff that should be the major arguments.
It's,
you know,
it's,
penalties.
It's yeah, right. That's another
well,
reason
I'm
why
gonna,
the Patriots didn't earn this win. But
I'm not going to say that.
Andy just did, so you didn't have to.
No,
oh,
that's
okay.
the... I said that's an argument. And
what?
I think there's an argument to be made.
You don't think that the
two
rest...
drives were extended by penalties, one of which was a
Three.
Glaring error.
Three. There was a pass interference call or an illegal contact call
right.
on a failed third down
but
on the last scoring drive.
I don't see how you can see the call on Terrell Suggs and not have issue with that.
That was a good call by the rule.
Not
now, you can have issue
I don't
about,
think so.
You can have issue about the way they emphasize the rule.
No,
and,
I don't think it
that.
Was a good call by the rule, but I don't think it cost
so
me.
He,
I agree with
did
Ray
he
Lewis.
Forcibly hit him?
The game.
What?
He didn't
forcibly hit him? Because that's the rule.
That's the rule.
That's the
forcibly
exact phrase.
Hit.
Forcibly hit.
He lunged at
as
his
Tony
knee.
Dungy
no, he
appropriately
he,
pointed to when Tony Dungy said it was a bad call.
He lunged at his knee. If Brady hadn't been
forcibly
able to do
hit.
What he did.
Did he forcibly
Brady,
hit him?
Brady's season would be over, and we'd be saying this guy should be kicked out of the league.
Did he forcibly hit him?
He grazed him. It doesn't matter how hard
yes,
he hit him.
Yes, it does. According to the
him.
Rule, the way
the rule
it's written,
says
it's forcibly
hit.
Forcibly hit.
Then they need to rewrite the rule again. Because
no.
forcibly
it was,
hit is in there.
To me, it was every bit as bad a call as the one on Vince Wilfork on opening day.
Well, he was absolutely – that's why – look, and people complain about Brady asking for the call and all that stuff. Brady,
which was embarrassing.
Brady saw his career flash in front of his eyes because of that, and that's why.
If he's worried about every hit, then he shouldn't be out
and
there.
And that's why he immediately went to the ref because the guy was going right.
But
for
the
his
bottom line is the phrase "forcibly hit" is in the rule book.
Well,
that's the penalty. Not trying to forcibly hit.
The way they change it this year is lunging at the knees.
Forcibly hit. I just I read the rule.
If you're going to disregard the rule book, that's fine. Just say they're disregarding the rule book.
They rewrote it this year.
And I read it to
you. And we read it in red where it says new, updated.
I read you.
Forcibly hit. Just like Tony Dungy said,
there's no
you have to forcibly hit him.
It's not about intent.
And called it a bad call. Tony Dungy knows the rules, correct?
No, it's not about intent, but the guy was...
But you wrote a whole edit letter saying it was about intent.
The guy,
that's not the rule.
The guy grazed his knee. The fact that Brady was able to move aside and it wasn't a flush-on hit, thank God, or Brady's career could be over.
You can agree with that, and that's fine. Maybe his career, and for Patriots fans, it's great, but the rule is forcibly hit, and they threw a flag on something they shouldn't have.
I'm telling you this, okay?
By rule.
I think Sunday's game was a great football game, and I was more than a little jacked up after the game because I love games like that. That's what we live for. I think that was a great football team, as I said, between two very good teams. But I'm telling you this, much like we look back at the 2005 playoff loss in Denver, as we all still, myself included, by the way, I'm not casting aspersions on anyone, I still think the referees cost the Patriots that game, day. The Ravens are right.
Yeah,
the Ravens fans are right to look at that game Sunday the same exact way we look at that game in Denver.
And Brady didn't have to throw an interception for 100 yards to Champ Bailey. You don't think that had something to do with
that
day?
Of course it did.
Of course.
Fred, the argument is, do you want players changing the outcome of the game or officials?
So,
and this week, officials played a part.
So,
they played a part. And that's why I kind of disagree with Paul, because I love great football. Unfortunately, I don't know how the great football would have played out without the terrible officiating.
No, that's true.
Right.
I think
so.
Listen,
I don't like it when that pops up. And that's the fourth phase of the game.
Who on this show complains about officials more than I do?
People complain about, Mike Wright's, barely grazed the guy. He hit him in the face.
Right.
It was a good call.
But he did hit him in the face.
He did. He hit him in the chin.
The other guy didn't.
And I think the hitting in the face,
he made contact with his knee, Paul.
But that's not the rule, Fred.
Fred, okay, if they change it to if you make contact with a knee, it's a penalty, then it's a good call. But that's not the rule that's on the books.
So you have to knock the guy down.
No, you have to hit him hard.
Forcibly hit.
Okay.
That's what the rule says.
I want to know what that means in the
It means more than graze, because you've used the word graze. And I think that's an accurate description of how he contacted him, was grazed. Yeah. And I don't think grazed and forcibly hit are synonyms.
I think if Brady had not been able to do what he did, his season would be over.
That's a possibility.
And then it would have been a legit penalty.
That's a possibility.
So we have to wait for the guy's season to be over to call it a penalty? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no.
See, I have a problem with the whole issue.
I know, but they're trying to retrain these guys not to hit for the knee.
Then they need to reword the rule.
And it's affecting the outcomes of games. And they had a great clip on ESPN on Monday, yesterday, that Trent Dilfer, by the way, a former quarterback, was really going over a lot of these roughing the passer calls. And he's showing these plays during the course of the games.
Yeah.
A guy from Tennessee absolutely pile-drived David Garrard into the ground. No call. Ty Warren's hit on the tackle on the play that Jared Gaither got hurt was two full strides going full speed, buried him in the chest after he had thrown the ball. Two full strides. No call.
Right.
What's more dangerous?
Right.
What's more dangerous to a quarterback?
They're being called inconsistently. There's no doubt about it.
They're deciding the way.
Well, that's
the
where I agree. You know what it is? Because that rule was added. Remember, they focused on the one step like 3-4 years ago, and for 1 year they focused on it. But now that's gone. It's a new focus.
Right.
And now it's if you go anywhere near a knee or a head.
Now it's knees and
a grazing blow. Whatever, you're going to get called. Well, how about we how about we call the rules?
That was late.
How about we call the rules that are on the books? If you take more than a step, it's a penalty. If you forcibly hit him, it's a penalty.
And that's why
they focus on the wrong stuff for short periods of time.
And that's why I can understand how a Baltimore fan is feeling today, because this is how I felt after the Denver playoff game.
And I give Ray Lewis credit for saying the game wasn't lost on those.
And I don't think it was. They lost the game because they dropped the football.
Now,
have only themselves to blame for losing the
picture. There's some gnawing part of you that goes, I wonder how it would have been.
Let me ask, do you have a problem with the whole fake field goal placement of the ball and all that?
Well, I think
stuff.
That there was something. I have a problem with the fact that they never put the ball down and measured it to tell John Harbaugh that it was a first down.
Right.
And I think that's what he had a problem with.
Because it was a catch. The guy took he took two steps in bounds before he stretched out.
But he clearly didn't get the first down based on the replay.
I don't know. I thought
it looked
did.
Like he got it and a half out of bounds.
But even if he
once you're out of bounds, you can't continue to extend.
Even if he did get the first down, Fred, if I'm John Harbaugh, I don't understand why they didn't put the ball down on the field.
Right.
Get the chains out there, move them, and say, okay, John, they got the first
down. No one can say it was obvious.
See, a lot of people said that it was, if everything was there, catch, inbounds, all that stuff. It was clearly a first down.
See, there's no possible way it was a clear first down.
But Harbaugh didn't. That wasn't what
he was arguing about spots. He was arguing in his post game the spotting of the ball was incorrect all day.
That's his revisionist history. I don't think
he's
at
not
the time,
talking about that play.
At the time, he didn't ask for a spot check
because he couldn't.
Yes, you can. That's challengeable.
But the whole play's challengeable.
Right.
So he did. They were able to look at this. He did it again.
He did. I love it.
The
he
whole
says
play right. is. He was arguing. He said the thing about the catch.
Right.
And if he didn't get the first down, they can.
No, they can
look
see
at that.
Right. The whole play.
But that's what he was talking about to the referee.
I know. But once it goes into challenge, yes, the whole play is challenged. Any part of it, if it's wrong, they can overturn the
and
play.
All Harbaugh
so they did
wanted
look
to
at
do
the spot when they challenged.
In his post game, all Harbaugh wanted was them to measure it with a spot, and they wouldn't, I think is ridiculous, number one. The Willis-McGahee fourth down stop, I believe he was short of the first down. He was not a yard and a half short of the first down as they placed the ball down in the field. He was upset about that as well, and I don't blame them. I think there were some really, really flagrant calls that went against them in key spots in that game. The key touchdown of the game, the Randy Moss play where Brady beat the blitz, Randy Moss did what Randy Moss almost always does, using his hands to get around the defender. Fine. I don't ever want to see a flag on a play like that. That's not pass interference to me. The very next play for Baltimore, I think it was Mason or Clayton, ran a routine out pattern where there was no contact at all. The arms never extended. They call offensive pass interference. The inconsistencies with the way they called the game really bother me if I were John Harbaugh.
I'll give you and Andy a half a win. Because of the ref screwed it up.
Okay.
For the
Can
Raiders.
We talk serious for a minute?
I don't
because
have
I have a serious problem with this whole protecting the quarterbacks thing on a lot of levels.
Right.
First of
all, we're going to talk about it in our PFW show, so I don't.
Well, you and Paul are, so I can talk.
Why don't
about
you
that.
Do it? Because you're really wound up.
First
about
of all,
you should do it.
It bothers me that they say player safety is the issue. No, it isn't. It's money. You don't want That's a guy that you pay
Absolutely.
$12 million a year on IR.
It's good business.
Right. So, but don't pretend you care about his health. You don't. You care about him being on the field 16 times.
Well, I think it's both.
I think that's disingenuous. I really do. Because if you're caring about player safety, then I agree with Ray Lewis. Care about all the player safety, not
well,
just
wait,
one.
Wait a minute.
And the other
whoa,
thing.
Whoa. Stop
okay,
right
go.
There.
Go ahead. Answer that one.
How about all the rules that they've instituted on special teams? How about the defensive receiver?
Right.
They've instituted a number of rules that have nothing to do with the quarterback that have everything to do with safety.
Yes, but there's
now,
only...
I don't think the guy in the wedge is about money.
No, but Fred.
No.
Fred, no.
Okay.
But the only one of those rules that's only... All of those other rules that you talked about, those are open for everybody. There's only one that's only open for one person.
Right.
Right, but the quarterback is a unique position in football. You have to admit that.
Well, can I address that, too?
Okay.
Because Tom Brady said... He agrees with the – now he was kind of smiling and smirking, but he agrees.
And he shouldn't do that.
I agree.
Way.
And he also shouldn't ask for the flag and say,
the
ooh, that was
on the
a cheap
field
one.
To me was loud.
That was a cheap
well,
one.
Well, if he said
that's
that,
embarrassing.
That
we, you know what that'll get
taking
Tom Brady?
One guy's word. I don't know if he said that. Did he ever say that he said that?
No, I don't
I
think
don't
we knew about it when
yeah,
we talked to
know.
Brady.
I don't
but
know.
The bottom line
but anyway,
is
but
if
I did
that
see
perception
him,
is out
turn
there,
around
you know who that gets hurt?
I can only listen to one
that
person
That gets Tom Brady hurt. He's going to get hurt.
No,
if he does
I agree
that.
With
People
that.
Will say,
you
know
don't
what?
Do that.
I'm not getting a cheap one next time. I'm getting a real 15-yarder. Yeah, and you know what? I'll pay the 15 grand, too, because I'm going to hurt you.
You're asking
I'm going to wipe that smirk off
your
face.
And while I can't confirm if he said that was a cheap one, I can confirm that he immediately pointed to the official, immediately pumped his fist, and immediately smiled.
Right.
All the stuff, by the way, that Ray Lewis said happened.
Well,
I saw that for myself on the replay.
And I, you know,
and I thought that was an embarrassing response.
Every player in every sport, from superstar right down to the lowest level player, has turned to the ref at one point and said, "I need a flag." Okay,
right.
So he's not unique in that. And
it's the way he did it.
It's the way he did it. But I'm telling you right now, he saw this guy coming, and if he hadn't been able to move, if his foot had been planted, for example. It'd be a lights out.
But,
it,
Fred, what
over.
You don't understand is, before the knee injury, that happened 1,000 times in his career. It's what happens on the football field.
No, if that had happened, he'd be out before that. I'm telling
First of
you,
all, you don't know he would have gotten hurt.
Look.
Because guys get hit all the time, and I go, ooh. And you know what they do? They jump up. They roll up.
No, I know.
It happens.
There
is a spotlight there because of the injury and no other reason.
Yeah.
It happens all the time. But my bigger issue is, he said, you know, we need to be protected. We're back there, defenseless, holding the ball. Defenseless? Name another person on the field who, when they have the ball, first of all, there's a line that keeps the defenders from coming anywhere near them until they say so. He controls when those defenders go. Second of all, there's a wall of at least 5 300-pound men in front of them whose one and only job is to protect them. Sometimes it's seven guys. whose job is to protect him. So those they have an advantage like no other player on the field. When Adrian Peterson runs, they're trying to kill him, and he has no control over when they kill him and from where they kill him.
Well,
they're always in front of him, yeah. And there's always a line in front of him.
I know, but you can't compare a quarterback.
It's money. The bottom line is it's money.
You can't compare a quarterback in the pocket looking downfield and a guy bearing down on his blind side to a running back running through a hole.
But don't
you
we tell
do
these
it.
Quarterbacks make pre-snap reads? They know where the guy's coming. They control it.
Andy,
they can set up the protection. They know where they're coming from.
If a guy misses a block, the quarterback doesn't necessarily know that he missed the block.
Right.
But that's not illegal.
But I'm not saying it's illegal, but he's saying
if
they
a
have
guy misses a block and Adrian Peterson, he gets killed.
He's saying they have complete control over what's going around them. No, they
no,
don't.
But like no other. That's my point. Not complete control.
It's
sure,
different.
They fall on, you know, Matt Light to actually
sure,
block
absolutely.
Terrell Suggs and not miss it.
It's absolutely
was he assigned
different.
To block Suggs on that play? I didn't get
I don't know.
Yes.
And Tom Brady, if you're listening, take off the skirt and put on some slacks. Toughen up.
Right. Right.
Rodney was just kidding.
Right.
No, but he says it in such an understated tone. It's so calm that
right.
It's funny. It's kitschy.
Well, that's the other thing. And look, I'm not upset about Rodney Harrison saying that. I thought it was funny. But there's two things that people are getting wrong. First of all, he's not talking about being tough in the pocket or anything
exactly.
like that.
Exactly.
He was talking about turning to the refs and crying for a foul. That's what he didn't say. Take off the skirt and let these guys be men like everybody else. He said, put on some pants because you already have a skirt on because of asking for
right.
it. That's what he's talking about.
Right.
So
I agree
so,
with you, Fred.
And he shouldn't back away from that. Okay. Say, yeah, I said it in a funny way, but here's what I do mean. He shouldn't be doing that. So now not only is he kind of backpedaling away from his original, you know, point, now nobody even remembers what his original point
right.
was.
Right. I agree with you on that.
You know?
Right.
So, Rodney, if you're going to say this stuff, you got to, you know, stand behind it.
But my biggest
What's
issue
that,
is
Paul Barillo?
You play quarterback in the NFL. Sure, there's an inherent risk. Maybe there's more inherent risk than other spots. I tend to not necessarily agree with that. I agree with you. I think the receivers are every bit, if not more so, put in positions of risk when they are laying out
sure.
to get a ball and they don't know
Absolutely.
Where the hits are coming from, how they're
sure,
coming.
Roy Williams took in that Denver game in the fourth quarter. I mean, you can't be any more vulnerable than that.
But right. the league has decided they're going to place an emphasis on one guy, the quarterbacks. Because of player safety. No, not because of player safety. Because they're the stars of the game who make a lot of money. And oh, by the way, when you're saying Tom Brady's career ended, he chooses to play quarterback in the NFL, correct? And if I'm not mistaken, he's paid like no other athlete in the National Football League, right? They're treated differently.
But there's a reason why.
Right, because he's the quarterback. So you take the good, you take the bad. If you want to make more than anybody else,
yeah.
even quarterbacks, what do they always say? Well, the left tackle that goes number one overall is not going to make as much as the quarterback that goes number one overall, right?
Hell no.
They always say the contracts are different for quarterbacks
because,
in the top 10.
Because of the value of the quarterback to the team.
Right.
Right.
So they're paid more. They
right.
get more up front.
Right. Right.
So if there's more risk, they've already been paid for it, right? They're treated differently and better because they're a quarterback, right? Doesn't
well, yeah, but there's a reason why,
right?
Because on a lot of teams,
right.
if the quarterback goes down, it's not just bad for the team; it's bad for the fans, it's bad for the network.
So it's not player safety;
it's about money.
It's
too.
Business and money.
Absolutely,
no, not two. I think it's about business and money.
Well,
I think it's hidden behind a curtain of player safety. We're looking
look,
out. They're not looking out for
look,
the guys.
The majority of these knees injuries go to these quarterbacks. It has happened throughout history.
Do you know
history.
That for sure?
Absolutely.
The majority of what knee injuries?
ACLs. Look at Joe Namath.
More quarterbacks tear ACLs than running backs?
And tell Carnell Williams, who's blown out his knee,
yeah.
how many straight years?
I'm
two,
not,
3 years
I'm not
in a row?
I'm saying it doesn't happen to other players.
It happens all the time to other positions.
But these players.
But we make a big deal of it because
the
it's quarterbacks
the quarterbacks are extremely vulnerable to these types of knee injuries. Absolutely.
I don't know that the evidence has proven that.
Ask Joe Namath, who had two knee replacements.
Yeah!
It's football! Ask John Hanna, who has fake everything below the waist.
I'm just saying that these quarterbacks...
You know what the difference is? Joe Namath made X...
Look.
easy on the fake everything below the waist.
You know, it's very easy to say... And be macho
Hell
and say they're just like any other player. They should just stand in there and take their hits. They
but
get
there
paid
are certain
more.
But
it's also stupid.
But
see, I don't think it is. I think it's stupid to treat one guy differently than the other 21.
This is a business, Andy.
Right. So
it
just openly tell Ray Lewis, I'm protecting Tom Brady because he's a bigger star than you. He's
you don't
more
think
important
that Ray Lewis knows that?
I don't think he does. I think he wants the game where everybody's treated as players. I think Ray Lewis, when a 300-pound lineman dives at his knee, wants to feel like the league cares whether he gets up or not.
There's
and
a rule
they
against
don't.
Chop blocks.
That's not a chop
That's
block.
That's not a chop block.
That's a cut block.
Whatever. There's a rule against cut blocks.
No,
there isn't. There's a rule against the chop blocks, which is two guys taking him out high and low.
The whole point is there's not rules that prohibit that against any other player. That's only the quarterback.
The problem.
Well, there are for the receivers.
You have superstars feeling like they're not a high enough superstar to be protected, that the league only cares about one superstar, and then those superstars are allowed to, you know, kind of use the rules to win. Brian Urlacher, is he a superstar? He didn't feel like one when he tried to give Brady the benefit of the doubt and was juked out of his jock and made to look bad because the quarterbacks are pampered like no other. That's the problem.
You should argue
but you're not.
I might swear, and we don't want that on TV.
But you're not. You're failing to, you know, come to grips with why. Why are they treated differently?
Money.
That's it, absolutely
okay,
one
so
of the
just
reasons.
Say it. Come out and just say it.
Do you disagree with that?
So don't give
me
player
care.
Safety.
I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like
but
the
isn't
change
that a
in the
fact?
Game.
Isn't that
it is, unfortunately. But it's all about money. But that's my point. It's all about money. Don't tell me you care about Tom Brady's knee. You care about Tom Brady being on the field because money.
How much, you know, all these emails that we get every week of every game, you know, that it's the highest rated game since, you know, the dawn of Christ. You know, every week, no matter who's playing, it's the it sets a record. How did that change last year? I got one of those emails every week.
The best
player in the NFL didn't play but 7.5 minutes for the entire season.
I'll show you.
Don't tell me about the Patriots. Tell me about the NFL's bottom line.
No, I will show you the Patriots web, you know, web numbers from the weeks after Brady got hurt, how they were affected.
No, but I understand that from our perspective. I'm selfish, Fred. Our business.
No, but that's a case where.
But that's my personal business.
I know, but
the NFL shouldn't care about that.
No, but they should.
No, they shouldn't.
That's a case where a star quarterback on a team got hurt, and how it affects that team.
And the bottom line was affected zero.
No.
For the NFL.
Well, how do you know? How do you know that the ratings for Patriots games didn't go down a little bit?
But I'm looking at the ratings that they give me every week. The NFL, every week, Monday night, highest cable rating program ever. This one, highest after
because
November
Brett
ever.
Favre was
NFL
playing.
Network, highest rated
what
game ever.
If Brett Favre had got hurt last week because of somebody hit his
knees.
I'm
not talking about this week. I'm talking about last year.
No, but listen, I'm talking about last night. If Brett Favre had got hurt the week before because somebody took out his knees, what ratings would that game have done? Nothing. Because nobody cares about Green Bay, Minnesota, unless you live in Green Bay, Minnesota.
But because
Brett Favre was playing, it had a national audience.
So it's not player safety. It's about the show. It's
absolutely.
About,
okay.
But I don't think the show was affected one bit.
Oh,
but it was
regardless
affected,
of that.
It was affected here in New England, yeah.
Paul, if Brett Favre wasn't playing, I wouldn't have watched.
Fred, who cares if you watched? Everybody watches the NFL. You're talking about one game.
But
the NFL went on last year without Brady. Unaffected. Without Brady.
It affects everything when the stars can't play.
It affects on a
it
unique
affects
basis.
The
it helps
Patriots
the Patriots
last year.
But
it
isn't there something to be
Green
said
now.
For
I mean,
a guy
now.
Goes down, another steps up, truly in star, in sports?
Absolutely.
Every time someone,
absolutely.
You know, the world ends,
right.
All of a sudden, you know, what's his name? Wally Pipp.
Thank God.
They were probably bitching that Wally Pipp didn't play
right.
that day.
Right.
And Lou Gehrig was born.
Thank God.
That happens.
But thank God that Matt Castle stepped up.
There would be no Matt Castle story if the NFL had its way because Brady would never miss a snap.
Or probably people wouldn't be showing up. You know how many people after Brady went down said, that's it, end of season, I don't have any reason to watch anymore. A lot of people said that.
Who?
Again,
because all our people said it was going to be a more interesting season.
I said that.
You're talking about one team, Fred. The NFL is the whole league that was completely unaffected by it.
I understand.
They went
I'm
on and
about
still had
team.
Record setting ratings.
I know.
Every week.
Look, I'm using our team as an example, Paul.
But again, that's selfish for us. That's what we care about. But the league shouldn't be making their determinations based on the good or bad of one team.
I think they should be looking
but
at
But what if Matt Castle, it's not going to happen. He's too old. Whatever. What if he went on to be the greatest quarterback in the history of the league? No questions asked.
Right.
It became unanimous. He never would have come to fruition had Brady not gotten hurt, in all likelihood.
Okay.
So a star is born. The league is great. You
so
just
let's
got the
let quarterbacks get hurt more to give other guys chance.
No, but don't protect them more than you protect others.
You're making a really – you're making that's an Andy comment. That's the exaggeration that Andy usually uses.
Are you telling me Adrian
now you're saying
Peterson
that we
is not
want,
important?
We want the quarterbacks to get hurt is what you're saying.
Before
that's
Brett Favre got
saying,
there, Adrian Peterson was the Vikings. On the field and off it. I mean, every commercial
is,
we see
way.
Now is Adrian Nike and the video games and supplement. It's
right.
It's all Adrian Peterson.
Right.
Why is his star power any less valuable?
His star power for Minnesota is as valuable as before Favre came than anyone on that team. But he's not in that vulnerable position that a quarterback is at. You know, Look, let's put it this way, okay?
I don't know how the league survived for, what, 85, 90 years?
I just don't get it.
What's the anniversary for the league? 90 years? Something. I don't know how they survived the first 80 of them.
If the quarterback wasn't in a more vulnerable position than these other players, okay, they wouldn't have to really worry about them getting as hurt, you know, getting hurt and like that.
Knees are blown out by running backs all the time. Wide receivers all the time. Concussions all the time.
Not standing in a pocket and somebody taking a cheap shot.
No, because they don't have the luxury of standing in a pocket.
Now.
Thank you, Fred.
You don't think, wait. I'm not saying they are, but you think ever a cheap shot was happened to a quarterback?
Do I think ever?
In the history of football.
Ever?
Yeah.
Of course. I
just
think,
like,
been
I think it happens
just
to
as many
receivers
cheap shots
and
on every
backs?
Other position in the field, too.
But you think it's a lot easier to do that? Okay.
I think
I don't, because you just used the word pocket.
I'll tell you
what
I think.
Does a running back ever get a pocket, a convoy? Okay, on screen passes.
I'll tell you what I think is a cheap shot that no one ever does anything about is the blind blocks on special teams.
Absolutely.
Where a guy's coming and the helmet's in front,
right.
Everything is legal. Those are much more cheap shots than anything that Bernard Pollard did to Brady last year.
And when
trying to tackle the guy with the ball.
And I think that they find guys for those cheap shots.
Not
on
generally.
Special teams. You know, when they're cheap shots, absolutely. Who was the guy from? I think it was Minnesota.
But they're not always cheap. I know they are cheap shots, but they're not always. They look like a cheap shot. But sometimes it's how the play unfolds. Ends around, reverses,
but
you get change of direction
of
play.
It's going to my point.
You get knockout shot.
But it's going to my point of the whole defenseless thing.
Right. There's a lot of guys
that
are
defenseless. And you have
opportunities
to do that. There's a lot of guys in the field that are defenseless at any given moment. The
it
quarterback is
the
only one, and if a receiver happens to not catch a ball,
right.
Somehow that's deemed to be the only other one. The quarterback always, and the receiver when he doesn't catch it, is somehow deemed defenseless. I don't get that. But.
I think
and
that,
the quarterback one is the only one I'm seeing going overboard.
I think
the receiver one even, I haven't seen go overboard.
If Derek Mason didn't catch that touchdown to open the game, if that went off his hands,
right.
Jonathan Wilhite would have gotten a penalty for that.
I think that even on a team like Minnesota that had a guy like Adrian Peterson last year, because they didn't have a good quarterback, they really weren't a threat to win a Super Bowl. The quarterback is undisputably the most important position in football.
I don't think you can argue with that.
And now the league is treating it as such, but don't put it behind a curtain of player safety.
I would
You're treating it as you need your superstar.
Absolutely.
Okay.
What do you think is
wrong with
that?
I don't think it's fair. I think it ruins the game. I thought it was the ultimate team sport.
I think
I thought Tom Brady was one of the guys at his locker in the locker room.
I think it ruins.
He's not one of the guys. So don't tell me he is.
With the rare times that some backup does step up and fill the shoes of a star, it ruins the season for a fan base when their guy goes down for something that was unnecessary.
Well, what do you deem unnecessary? If it's a cheap shot, then we all think it's unnecessary.
But I think these guys can be retrained to go for the midsection
and not
go high and not go low.
Is my point.
That's not fair. You're limiting their ability to do their damn job.
I hear
they
that.
Make Vince a lot of money to rush the passer, don't they? And if there's a difference between six sacks, say they go 16 or 10, their paycheck will reflect it. And if you take away two-thirds of the body, you don't think they're going to lose the opportunity for some sacks?
Okay.
They can't hit the head. They can't hit the knees.
Vince Wilfork
they can't
should,
hit the
not,
thighs now.
Should not have to be retrained to hit Trent Edwards any differently than he did
That's
an opening
bull crap.
Night.
That cost them money.
That was a terrible, terrible rule and a terrible, terrible call.
Wilfork?
Yeah.
That was a bad call.
The call was made because you're legislating
he
the
hit
game.
Him a million times harder than
Look,
Brady got touched.
I think the refs have some, you know, learning curve to go through as well.
And it's
I'm
ruining
not saying,
the game.
So Look, was it a bad call?
It's going to take time, Paul.
Well,
you know,
how much time do you have,
Look,
Fred?
There was a time, okay, when there was no face mask, all right? Guys were
And what did they do? They gave all 22 guys face masks, not one.
No. There was a time when...
Point for Andy. Booyah!
Yeah, but when they gave that face mask, don't you think there was a point where the refs had to get used to guys grabbing
yes.
the face mask? I'm sure it didn't happen like overnight where every call was right.
Right.
Okay.
So you're saying this was a wrong call?
No. Which one?
The one on Tom Brady?
No, that was the correct call.
That's where we have the problem.
If you're going to say that, Wilfork eventually went from the waist down to the knee.
Yeah, no, I don't think
he did.
So. I don't think
and
he
weighs
did.
350 pounds, so it happened with more contact.
It was the
than
worst
great.
Call I've ever seen. Well, one of the worst calls
I
I've
hate
ever
both.
Seen.
I hate both
but
with a passion.
I think he hit him in the waist and you know.
And he dropped all the way down.
He definitely slid down.
He slid down.
Yeah, but after the hit.
Exactly. And yeah. if you look
but
at
all
the
these
rule,
butts and after crap,
but if you
care
look
about.
It,
I understand
the way the
it's
rule is written, it can start at the waist and go down and be called a penalty.
It's very, very
You know
subjective.
What I'd even be better with?
But I think it's worth
it's
working
a bad
at. I don't
rule
think,
and a bad call.
I don't think
it's
you can say,
call.
You know what, let them hit the quarterbacks any way they want.
But it gets back. You know what I would
you
like,
can't
Fred?
Do that.
My whole theory of unnecessary roughness.
I don't know how
roughness.
They did it for 90 years.
Well, you know what? For 90 years, Paul.
Yeah.
These guys weren't as big. They weren't as fast. They weren't as strong. They didn't have
and
as
the
health.
Game was better.
They didn't. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think the game has never been better than it is
no,
now.
Don't argue profitable with better. Don't tell me the caliber of play right now is better than it has been in the past.
Well, they're more look, you don't think that the NFL is better than it ever was? Yeah,
financially, absolutely.
No, I'm not talking about financially. Fun to watch.
No. I don't.
Paul, well, you don't like getting up at games anyway, so you're a bad person.
I know
to ask.
Because I never. I don't like the beauty of the sport.
If it's,
I don't like the skill of the sport. Well, everything now is deception, Fred. I mean, that's all it is.
Deception. Right.
It's game plan. Who has the best game plan every week?
These guys are bigger.
That's why
faster,
Belichick is the best. He's the smartest
than ever before.
He's got something there.
Everything is about deception. That's all it is. Belichick is the smartest coach in the game. That's why they have the best team.
There is a lot of crap with timing and screens and this guy down.
All it's about.
As opposed to just, I beat you, he throws to me,
right,
we
because
win.
Right, because the level of competition is so even.
Where is the skill?
It's very hard to be that kind of team that just goes out and blows away a team every weekend.
I don't care about blowing away anybody.
I know, but that's the way it used to be, Paul. You used to have teams that could just do what they do because they did it so well.
I like
it's very hard to do that anymore.
Nowadays you see, Andy, oh, they're playing two deep safeties. Oh, we can't go deep.
Right.
I like the old days when, you know what, I'm my receiver's going to make a play over your guy, and my quarterback
because,
is going to fit it in the tight window.
Because they're that much better.
Yeah, they were better.
Right, because
not now.
The level of competition is much more even now.
You're out of your mind. There's more teams now. You think there's more good players?
See, now what you're talking about, deception and coaching, does come into play even more because that's your edge.
Right.
That's why the Patriots have an edge because of a guy like Bill Belichick.
Because absolutely. He's the best coach in the league.
That's right. And that's where you get your edge. You get your edge from, you know.
Right. I liked it when you got your edge from talent. And,
right.
And,
but now the talent is more evenly distributed,
you're,
Paul.
You're wrong about that, Fred. Oh. Why are you allowed to make a blanket statement like the talent is more evenly distributed now?
It is.
Why? Well, give me some fact. There's twice as many teams, but somehow you got more talent across the board. Why don't you explain that to me?
Because of the salary cap? Because of the
Salary cap, there's more talent in the league?
No, I said evenly distributed.
But that doesn't make any sense. There's more teams, Fred.
Yeah, I know, but you still have to distribute them against all of the overall of them. It doesn't matter if there's two teams of 32. It's evenly distributed means evenly distributed.
So you're telling me like Dallas and Pittsburgh and Oakland and Miami and Washington and
right.
San Francisco, those teams weren't evenly matched in the 70s and 80s?
There were a few teams that were.
A few?
Yeah.
I just rattled off seven. That's a few?
Every era there's a team that's better than anyone else getting talent.
Right.
So they have more talent.
But how do they do that now? They do it by better scouting and better coaching.
The same way they did it then.
Because
when the Cowboys started scouting when no one else scouted.
This whole system.
When you're smarter and better, you are going to have a better team.
Right.
That's the way it works in any
system. This whole
system
is designed to bring people back to the pack. You get over that. You get over that.
Eric Mangini tries all the crap he tries that Belichick
does. He's an idiot.
Exactly. Because Belichick does it.
Right.
It works because Belichick's smarter.
He's an idiot.
It doesn't work.
You separate yourself by being better scouts, by being better coaches, by being better managers of the salary cap, right?
See, I disagree.
Because the talent is equally available to everyone. Now, you may pick wrong. You may mismanage your salary cap, but it's available to everyone. There's no team in this league that can't afford to get the same guy that the other team is getting.
It was always available to everyone.
But that was never the
except
case.
Except for
yes,
whatever those early regional or
whatever
territorial draft picks.
The Patriots,
once
never,
those were gone.
The New England Patriots of Billy Sullivan did not have the money.
That's not true.
That Tex Schramm had.
But that's not true. He chose not to spend it. That's a different thing. It's a different argument. The Patriots weren't
Paul,
inferior.
He had to sell stock because he had no money.
The Patriots were not inferior to Dallas in the mid-70s because of money. They had just as much talent. They didn't put it together.
They didn't have half as much money.
They didn't put it together on the field, Fred.
But
that's
money
why.
Was part
Wait,
of it,
there's no
Paul.
Difference in money now? between Dallas, New England, and Buffalo and Cincinnati or whoever.
No, it's equitable now. It's all there for everybody to use.
But you can't spend that extra money that a guy like Kraft or Jones is pocketing. You can't spend it on players because there's a salary cap.
But you just said it's scouting, it's this, and you can spend it on all that as much as you want.
But
right?
Absolutely.
There is no salary cap on any of that other stuff.
But if you spend it on that, then I don't want to get into a whole CBA.
I don't even know how we got here.
Once you put it in there, that's all part of the collective bargaining and shared revenue and all that stuff. You know?
Look, I think that Mike Brown is a cheap SOB, and that's why Cincinnati fails. But he claims he doesn't have the money to invest in the resources to do all the things that you say to spread out the fact of the talent being evenly distributed.
Mike Brown fails to say that he doesn't have to worry about operating a stadium because he doesn't own it.
Right.
Oh, we're going down a slippery
slope. So,
everything
we are.
That's wrong in every other city.
Exactly. So he doesn't have the money to do it, and other teams do.
He also doesn't have the risk.
Can we just
in the overhead?
But that doesn't have anything to do with the quality of your product on the field.
You're right, but it does have how much money he has to spend.
How much
he
you're
has
worried
the same amount of money to spend as every other team.
But how much you're worried about making your rent at the end of the month doesn't have anything to do with your product on the field. How much you're spending on getting the product on the field has to do with
that.
And
he has
some teams do a lot more than others, like they did in the 70s.
He has the same amount to spend as everyone. That's the system. That's why.
No, he
that's
doesn't
what they
spread.
Want. That's the whole system, Paul. They want.
They have the same amount of money to spend on players.
Right.
Not on getting those players, not on finding those players, not on developing those players, only on the 53-man roster that they have. They have the same amount of money to spend.
Well, look, whether he chooses to spend it or not, that's his fault. You know, Mike Brown.
Are you telling me that he has what Robert Kraft and Jerry Jones and Dan Snyder have?
They share.
And he doesn't spend
They share from the exact same pool of revenue that every other team does. Now, Jerry Jones or Robert Kraft is willing to take a risk and go beyond and build their own stadium or do stuff that makes them extra money.
And why
but
is
he
that?
But he has the opportunity to do the same thing.
But does his market have the same opportunity?
No.
I don't know the answer.
I think that there's a lot of things.
Jacksonville, Buffalo, Arizona?
Yeah,
no,
I mean,
I'm sorry. They don't.
I've been in Buffalo. It's not pretty. I can't imagine there's a lot of people with money that he's not tapping into.
There's a lot of things that those teams aren't doing that they could be doing. Now, I'm
okay,
not saying
but
that.
Could they get to the same level? Do they have the same amount of resources? No.
Well, I don't know.
They don't all, Fred.
Well,
they don't.
There's
a reason Forbes gives you like the operating expenses and revenues and ranks them because they're different. They're all different. Each situation is different.
But, you know, if Kraft didn't want to take a risk and build his own stadium, he'd probably be in Hartford.
Right.
And then what? You know, is Hartford as big as Cleveland? No.
But he took a risk because he thought it would work. He's a businessman. He thought he would make money off of it.
Somehow you're equating this risk thing into the fact of how much money they have.
Well,
he took the risk, and that's why he has the money.
I think having a smart...
The other guy didn't take the risk, he doesn't have the money available.
You look at any team that has had sustained success in any sport, and it trickles down from the top. You have to start with a smart owner. If you don't have a smart owner, you're dead in the... You're dead. You know, you might get lucky once, okay?
I agree with
but
you on that.
You're not going to be able to sustain it. That's what separates you from the other teams.
Right, and I don't like that. I don't like the fact that the best teams are the smartest ones.
I know, but...
That's
Paul,
all.
That's
I like the better players.
That's life. That's life. That's not just football or sports. You know, the smartest people get ahead.
Yeah, but that's... Fred, football is supposed to be about the athleticism of the game.
And the smartest players, by the way, have an advantage out there.
Well, I disagree.
The smartest quarterbacks have an advantage out there.
Sometimes.
I think most of the time.
They really have an advantage because you can't touch them.
Well, yeah. And that advantage is actually getting bigger by the year. But I don't care how smart you are. If you can't play, you can't play. If I'm a CEO, it matters how smart I am. I don't have to do anything else.
Tim, the Pats fan in Baltimore, says, forcibly hit means any force applied. The magnitude of the force is not defined in the rules. Bottom line is applying any force to the knees is illegal, and that SOB did dive at his legs.
I think he dove at his legs. I think he missed.
He made contact with the knee. Is there a degree of force that you're saying that it has to have?
I think it was a terrible call.
Well,
that's the bottom line.
If that's going to be your definition, then Will Fuchs deserved his penalty on opening day because he actually did make contact with the knee.
Well, not on the initial hit.
No, he didn't.
I mean, when you get up off
the rule. The rule is if you start at the waist and if you go down to the knee.
When you get up off the ground, if you lean on his knee, is that a penalty? You know, like if you're getting off a quarterback, if you
should
make contact.
No, but he was still
knee.
In the air when he hit him in the knee.
I know he slid down.
It was a terrible call, by the way. I'm exaggerating to make my point. The Wilfork call was a terrible, terrible call.
I thought so too. I thought the right call was a good call. I thought that a Suggs call was a good call by the letter of the rule.
See, I think,
now, if
I
you
think,
can disagree with it, it's like the Tuck rule. You can disagree with the rule and say it was a fumble, but that was the rule. It was correctly interpreted.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure on that either.
I don't agree. I think they put forcibly in there for a reason. I don't think it meant any hit to the knee, or it would have said any hit to the knee. Forcibly hit. And Tony Dungy seems to agree with me. He was a guy that was in a lot of those meetings to talk about how the rule was to be interpreted and what it meant and how you coached with it.
John says...
and Rodney, who we all thought was, you know, God last week when he said that Terrell Owens was a clown, obviously disagreed with the call. And now, you know, well, what are we going to do?
John wants to know, and I think this is a question. I don't think he's, you know...
Doc, cups?
He's saying, is it legal to intentionally dive at a player's knee? Not a quarterback, any player.
No.
Intentionally going low for a knee, is it legal?
Yes.
Not a thigh, not a waist.
Happens all the time. You ever see defensive backs play in this league?
Yes, that's legal.
I mean, that's exactly how defensive backs tackle.
Yeah, they go down low.
Exactly.
Right.
That's legal.
Yep.
So when Brandon Jacobs is turning the corner, because he's a big man and knows everybody's going to tackle him low, his career's on the line, but he gets no protection from the league. You want the league to protect him. He's a star. He plays in New York.
Guys, specifically Andy and Paul, you guys need to understand that rules are written so that there is latitude in interpretation. Forcibly hit means hit with force. Any force, not a strong force. Force means movement
so
towards...
why'd they use forcibly?
I don't know. Force
why didn't
means,
they just use hit?
Force means movement toward the quarterback when you touch. The officials are calling a game within the rules. Football rules are written by lawyers, not people with common sense.
Right, and I thought lawyers tried to get some of the words out to make it clear. And I thought that if it means something... more than just hit, what does it mean? Otherwise, why doesn't it just say for hitting? Take that word out. It's unnecessary.
The officials are calling a game. Andy, when the ball goes out of bounds, as long as the body is not touching out of bounds, you can extend.
Incorrect.
No, the ball has to be on the field
to
play.
The ball has to be in bounds when you do that.
The sideline is not a plane like the goal line. The ball can be out of bounds as long as the body is not contacting out of bounds.
Incorrect.
So if Baker does extend the ball, if his body is not touching out of bounds, that yardage is good.
Plus, he was touching out of bounds.
And
so
there are rules about going low on any player that is out of the free blocking zone. All players are protected. The QBs are defenseless. They are not looking at their blind side. They are looking down the field. It is about money.
Which player is looking at his blind side? That's why it's called the blind side. When you're a running back, a quarterback, a wide receiver, a tackle, anybody.
No, we're not talking about blocking outside the free block zone. We're talking about tackling the guy with the ball.
It is about money, but it's also about safety. Pre-snap reads are guesswork. If a quarterback knows what is coming, he should be the amazing Kreskin rather than a quarterback. The team won a good, tough game. Why are you two crybabies talking about the officiating? Talk about the defense, not the officials. They are humans just like everyone else.
So I'll wait till...
There was no foul on the play. It was not a hold. The defender was just overpowered.
You're right. We can't be objective, so I have to wait until Mike Wright goes near Peyton Manning's knee and gets flagged, and the Colts go on to win the Super Bowl before you babies will
bitch. We just spent a whole month complaining about the Vince Wilfork hit.
I thought we were having good
objective football talk. By letter of the law,
talk.
That's a penalty.
I'm sorry. I thought we were discussing
what we liked
about the game.
Yeah, but I don't think anybody said, Paul, that because of that hit, the Patriots didn't win. They said it was a bad call.
It was a terrible
call.
But
that's not why the Patriots, you know,
well, they could've
lost that game.
They ended up having come from behind 11 points down with 5 minutes
left.
If they had lost the game, people would have been complaining about it.
No one's saying this is why the Ravens lost the game. Not one person. Not
I think the Ravens people are.
I didn't hear anybody. I'm sorry.
Please.
I didn't.
Did you hear any of the comments?
In fact, I heard
them
say
in Baltimore Sports Radio, that's all they're talking about.
Whoa.
That they were cheated again.
So we're talking about
the fans. Yes.
Well, who cares what the fans say?
Well,
I'm talking about real people.
Real fans aren't real.
No,
people.
They are they lack objectivity and they're homers. That's what they should be. And I didn't think we were talking about wins and losses. I thought we were talking about this specific call.
Adrian in Cleveland says, have mercy on Fred. One against two is unfair throughout the whole episode. Don't you think? I agree every bit of Fred's points about why NFL protects quarterbacks more than other positions. I also wouldn't watch Green Bay versus Minnesota without Brett Favre. By the way, Brett Favre looked really, really good yesterday, except for the interception that got saved by the penalty. I thought he looked great. I have to say it. As much as I wanted him to fail, he looked awesome.
League really needs to protect him. He's one of the all-time greats, and they need him to get through the season, and he's old.
He has a bad arm, so you can't hit him in the arm either.
It's true. Good point.
Playing the role of Andy is Paul Perillo. Jeff says, I think Tom Brady asking for that call has less to do with him worrying about his safety and more to do with the fact that he knew – he could get a free 15 yards in the first down. He knows the new rules, and he knows when he can work the rest for a critical first down. I expect him to do that, just like I expect him to throw for first downs. You get them any way you can to score points and win the game, including taking advantage of every rule that is available to you. Whether it was a good or bad call or a good or bad rule doesn't matter to me. You take advantage of what you can to win the game.
As long as you take guys trying to hurt him, coming after him, because that won't sit well. If he's going to mock the league and try to manipulate things, that won't sit well. Some hothead, Joey Porter, is he on the schedule? Is he? Does he qualify as a hothead? Because I think he does. They'll be coming for him.
Yemi says from Texas, this is the worst show ever. First show after a game, you don't talk about how other players played. You get into ridiculous arguments over rules. You guys need to stay on track and talk about plays in the field. Don't get into personal beefs about the rule. I want to hear about the plays on defense.
Don't listen. See ya.
And it's not personal. We're discussing the action on the field.
Such an idiot. I just want to get through these
this,
emails.
This, by the way, is proven my point, that if this were the other way around and those bad pass, roughing the passer calls were the other way, it would be, that would have been the number one thing. Because no one's even said, I get first downs any way I can. Much like Celtics fans that complained for seven games 2 years ago when we played Cleveland.
They put so much tuna in this.
Do you remember LeBron James, Andy? The ultimate superstar of the NBA, right? MVP. Every single time he drove down the lane, I'm going to fall like I'm dead. I'm going to look at the officials. I'm crying. And that's all Patriots, all Celtics fans did. What a big baby. He's looking for every call. Yeah, like your quarterback did on Sunday. So you liked it then. You didn't like it. You liked it today. You didn't like it then. Let's just say what it is.
McHale used blind, to do the same thing.
It's blind homerism.
Kevin
McHale, just say what it
after
is.
After every call.
They do it in a lot of sports.
Every sport.
I don't want it in football.
Yeah, all the players.
They've
every
avoided
sport.
It in football for a long time.
I'd and
like
I don't like it.
But your point, Andy, and one that I agree with, is that in this particular case, when you have all these rules that do protect you, you can't be joking around about it.
Right.
Right. No, I agree with that.
I hate it. And I hate the way it's changing.
David from Atlanta says, the NFL does care about your personal balance sheet concerning Tom Brady's injury, because if someone is listening to your show, they are definitely watching the game on Sunday. The quarterback needs these rules in order not to be hurt, because the game has evolved over 80 years. 50 years ago, people were not 320 pounds, 6'7", with tactical blitz plays. The game has evolved, so does the rules. I think they protect the quarterback not just for the money, but also for the security of the player. You don't see people complaining that they should hit the kicker. That's true. They do protect the kicker.
It's true. Sort of.
Andrew says the NFL is a business, and like every
the
business.
The kicker has the ball in his hands. Are you allowed to hit him in the knee?
Yes.
The NFL, moving on.
The NFL is a business, and like every business, it's money-driven. The star quarterbacks make the league they make the most money. If Peyton Manning or Tom Brady or any other star quarterback gets injured and misses time, then the league loses out. The star quarterbacks are the stars of the TV show that is the NFL. With regard to running backs, they are moving a lot faster and expecting to be hit, not standing still in the pocket exposed. There's a huge difference.
Whoa. Quarterbacks should expect to get hit when there's guys named John Abraham and Terrell Suggs on the other side of the ball. Their job is to hit you.
You said before that they have control and they should be expect to be protected.
No, he didn't say. He said they should expect to be hit.
No, Andy said before.
I said they're the only people that get to decide when the play starts, when the defense can come at them, and how their five-man front in front of them.
He said if they get hit, it's the guy's fault in front of them for not protecting him.
Sometimes. It was Matt Light's fault that Tom Brady got hit. Yes,
Brady's flag, but he can't always expect Matt to be 100% perfect.
Right.
Brady's
just
flag,
like Adrian Peterson doesn't expect his line to make the, and he has to adjust on the run, and no one puts a skirt on him so he can't get hit.
But his job isn't to stand still and throw the ball. His job is to run.
Good point. And they are two different positions. I agree.
Brady's
you can tear your ACL and blow out a knee just as easily on the run as you can not on the run.
Brady's flag appeal. Most athletes in any level of sport will go out of their way to get even the smallest advantage for their team, and when Brady sees players coming at his knees, he knows he's infringing on a new rule. Brady knows the rules and is playing them to gain advantage. Of course, he's going to look for a flag and taunt the other team when he gets it. I don't think he should. I disagree with that.
Of course he's going to taunt the other team. That makes a lot of sense.
That just goes to this emailer's perception of who Tom Brady is and what he's about.
It enrages the other team and causes them to lose focus and lose concentration in doing their job. It's called gamesmanship.
Yeah.
And it happens in every sport around the world at every level.
Just make sure it's called gamesmanship when they're carting Brady off. That's all I want.
You know what we call it when the Indianapolis Colts quarterback does it? We call it penis head. That's what we call it.
That's true.
What?
I think you dubbed it. Penis head.
No, see, that's where I disagree with the email.
That's what he said.
In this case, where there's special rules, and let's face it, they are special rules.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, you know, go nana, nana, nana to the guys who are affected by those. You can't do it. You can't do it. You know?
It's true. Be like the president mocking snipers. I mean,
I thought of that and I didn't want to say it, but there you
nah,
go.
Nah, 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 nah. You can't shoot me. Well, you know what? Sooner or later, somebody's going to shoot
you. It's funny that you say that because that's exactly what I was thinking.
Because that's how we're treating quarterbacks now. They have their own Secret Service, the rules, they're everything. They are, it's like you have to say it with a big Q now. He's become quarterback.
Yeah. No, that's where I disagree with people. I'd have no problem with them calling for the flag. But you don't taunt the other team.
Well, yeah, everybody
about it.
Calls for flags. Right. No. I see wide receivers, you know,
absolutely.
Give me the flag every time.
All right.
There can't be a third down in football nowadays that goes by without someone complaining about a flag.
Right. Peter says, love the show. Not trying to be rude, but let's hear about the game. Argue this off the show. Okay, we'll do that. We're going to take
no,
a break.
Won't.
No,
you,
we'll move on. We'll move on. We'll take
Peter
a break
principle.
And we'll be right back.
Tuesday through Thursday, have lunch with the writers of Patriots Football Weekly on PFW in Progress.
I always say it this way, and honest to God, this is what you guys are. You are the View of football. It's just four guys having lunch and shooting crap.
PFW in Progress, Tuesday through Thursday from noon to 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
At American Airlines, we know it seems like you're on the road almost as much as your favorite sports team. We know you've scheduled a business trip to a city where your team happens to be playing that night. And we know that on every trip, you inevitably forget to bring a toothbrush. But you never forget that old pair of socks you wear on game day to bring your team luck. We know for you, it's not just a seat on a flight to a place. It's a seat on a flight to your life. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, don't go yet, sir.
But the light turned green.
Well, you don't go till I say so. You play by my rules. My rules. Ball start, loss of 5 yards, still first down.
What are you talking about?
Unsportsmanlike conduct, 10 yards.
Unsportsmanlike is 15 yards.
Move the chains.
You are a crossing guard.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
And stop blowing that whistle.
Think football, bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Delay of game,
but,
5 yards,
but
first down.
But you're not...
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services N.A. Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2009. Bank of America Corporation.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. You want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Man, it's football season. Usually the house is decked out by now. You know, the football lamps and the big wall posters.
Dude, it is decked out. But this year, I'm working on a higher level.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
Well, you're just not on that level. I've got razor-sharp Fios TV from Verizon, so I don't just watch the game. I feel like I'm in it. The whole place has ultra-quick Fios internet, so my computer becomes my own personal press box.
So, no little football helmet soaps in the bathroom this year?
Sadly, no. But with ESPN MVP, I get stats, scores, and highlights sent straight to my wireless phone.
With Verizon's Fios TV and internet, plus wireless apps like ESPN MVP, you have everything you need to take your football experience to the next level. Verizon, official telecommunications provider of the New England Patriots. Select VCast phone and VPAC subscription required. Fios available in select areas.
You are so far beyond football-shaped serving trays.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football. 3 Super Bowl championships. Endless memories.
It's good! It's good!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' 3 Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4.
Yes, it's a dynasty. And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. And is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehall@patriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
You've heard the jokes.
Flanders has cooties. Flanders has cooties.
You've heard the jabs.
Flanders is the only useless person here.
You've heard the voicemail.
Hi, you've reached the desk of Ken Flanders at Gillette Stadium.
Tomorrow, hear the man live. That's right. The infamous Ken Flanders will be appearing on Shop Talk. Tomorrow on American Airlines Patriots.com radio. Send us your emails, call the show, and be a part of the biggest moment in Shop Talk history. It's Ken Flanders, tomorrow on Shop Talk at 4 p.m. only on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Where nobody sucks. Except for Flanders.
That is going to be a big, big moment in Shop Talk history. Ken Flanders.
The greatest moment in Shop Talk history.
I think they're going to double their ratings, because I don't know about you, Paul, but I'm thinking of listening.
Well, we've heard about him.
Well, it'll take both of us.
We've tried to call him. We've never been able to talk to him. Now is your chance to get him on the phone. Ken Flanders, the one and only.
That was a burp.
He's been here longer than dirt.
You noticed Fred's little shiner, too, by the way, Andy?
Yeah. What do you got there?
He got into a little fight.
With who?
He had a little scrape.
I don't want to talk about it.
Is that a grazing blow?
Anyway,
or
was it forcible?
Forcible hit to your face.
Anyway, so Ken Flanders will be on Shop Talk, so that's good. Tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
Are you okay?
Yeah. Are you going to throw up all over the place?
They put like 5 cans of tuna in
he
that stuff.
I've never heard anyone complain more about too much stuff in a...
Well, it's a lot. It's a lot.
That's not what she said.
It's a lot. Anyway, so tune in 4 o'clock. I really do want to have everyone tune in, really to give him the business. So I think that would be a lot of fun.
He's a good sport, too. You guys can really, you can give him a hard time, and he won't pout like Fred.
Old-fashioned Maynard.
And if you think that Paul's a homer, Flanders is a huge homer. So... Also, I do want to say that this Sunday, the New England Patriots Alumni Club is proud to present the Game with the Greats. Join over 25 Patriots alumni in the Fidelity Investments Clubhouse at Gillette Stadium on Sunday, October 11th. That's this Sunday, as the Patriots take on the Denver Broncos in the second legacy game of the season. Tickets start at just $40 and include admission to the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Get yours now by logging on to Patriots.com. Don't miss your chance to watch this game with some of the greatest players in Patriots history. It's the Game with the Greats this Sunday at 4:15 p.m. So they've got Tippett's coming, Steve Grogan, Steve Nelson, members of the recently selected 50th anniversary team, members of the all-decade team such as Lenny St. Jean, Larry Garen, Larry Eisenhower, Tim Fox, John Smith, Steve King, a lot of guys. There's about, 30 guys that are going to be there. So you watch the Broncos game in the Fidelity Clubhouse with the alumni.
Food?
Yeah, there's food. It's great. $40. So it's a good take.
It's a great take.
It's a good take.
Get a chance to interact a little bit with some of the
right. And I think
I could probably
players.
Stay back and cover it if you wanted.
Everybody gets an autograph of every guy that's there, too. Nice.
Oh, I wanted to ask you, Fred, is the we're attending an event Saturday night?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes.
Is that mandatory?
Yes. Why? You got something to do?
I was thinking about making a little road trip to Colorado Springs.
Loser.
For what? To see the USOC?
No, to see Colorado
cool.
College take on Northeastern in hockey.
Loser.
Well, yeah, we'll talk about that. But no, we are.
Loser.
Do you know what time we're going to
attention,
get
you are all losers.
Not all of us, just one.
We've been invited to a party put on by the local fan club there at the Poor House.
I'll be there.
In Denver. It's right downtown. So we'll be there.
I'll be there.
I'll be there
as
well.
What kind of food we going to have there? Wings?
I don't know. We'll have whatever we want, I guess. You know? Just order.
Oh, I thought you were like being a star. I'll have whatever I want if I show up.
It's a restaurant, you know?
Oh, I thought there would be like a spread.
Oh, I think there will be a spread, but if you want wings, just order some wings.
Now, are they taking over the whole place?
There's a private area.
Probably like the other
from
one.
What I hear from the organizer,
from what I hear,
Barry
there is no
Insignon.
Sex in the private area.
No matter what they tell you, there's no touching.
Chris right. Gokong is settled, getting this together.
Barry Insignon says there'll be about, I think, 50 to 70 people there.
Nice.
So,
is that the event that the owner's going to?
No.
I don't know. Does Bon Jovi sing that song you tell us not to talk about?
Not that I know of, but, you know.
Yes.
Let's see. We're going to move on from this subject, though. We have a lot of emails.
Will there be a photographer there?
I'm going to try to sift through, you know, the emails that are about what we were just talking about.
Can
you
we talk about the game?
Well, why don't we
get back to the
everybody
game?
Wants
can we
I know. Everyone wants to move on, but everyone's emailing
right.
it
so
about
let's,
the subject.
Let's move on to other topics of the game. You know, you talked about Brandon McGowan a little bit as he was closing in on to absolutely undress. I guess I'm not talking to you anymore. I'll turn and talk to Paul since Fred just got up to go to the bathroom. But Mike Wright, again, showed up.
I said to you during the game that I think Mike Wright has been their best defensive lineman, and you turned around and said, I think he's been their best defensive player.
I think it's between McGowan and Wright.
And I think you're right. I mean,
those two guys I think are up for, if you did defensive player of the quarter mark,
yeah.
It's those two.
And I think Mike Wright has played fantastic.
I
got to
tell you, four weeks ago, I thought they were both special teamers.
I thought Mike Wright was more than a special team. McGowan's really been a surprise for me, but I
thought Mike Wright was our old diminishing returns upon increased playing time.
I did too. I thought he was a guy that if the more you put him out there, you were going to be in trouble. And especially, if you're going to put him out there on every first down, I think you have a chance to get run on. But it has not been the case thus far. Now, I do worry about him over the long haul, Andy. Holding up. He's a smaller guy. He's dealt with a lot of injuries.
NFL standard smaller guy.
Well, you know, for defensive lineman. Yeah, I mean, he's still 285 pounds.
And yoked.
Oh, yeah. He's a big
low body fat.
And he talks about this from time to time. He's small, you know, he's smaller than the average interior defensive lineman in this league.
Average bear.
And he's, I worry about him being able to hold up over the course of a 16-game season. But the first four, I think he's
leading the team in sacks.
He's been fantastic.
He's had plays. He got a penalty for
Mike Wright we're talking about, Freddie.
Getting better every week.
Well, but I think he's been there.
We just talked about he was a backup, a special teamer, one of those guys. Maybe the more you play, the less you'll like it.
Yeah.
But so far through a month, We were just saying that maybe McGowan and Wright are your two candidates for defensive players of the month.
Yeah, I think he's, you know, I'm not comparing him to Dwight Freeney. Please don't say that I am.
Good.
But he's trying to develop his own style and how he rushes. He's developed a little bit of a spin move, which I don't think is that effective yet. But he is.
Which I wish he'd stop.
But no, I see a lot more speed in his initial burst off the ball. And I think he's getting penetration.
Dwight Freeney is one of the few defensive linemen in this league that Mike Wright is a lot bigger than.
Right. But
he's probably got 40 pounds on Dwight Freeney.
He's one of the guys, we're talking about team defense. He's one of the reasons the team defense through a month is working and having success. And that's the other thing. I mean, I wrote this in my analysis. Call it whatever you want to call it. It's been successful. Smoke and mirrors, circumstantial, the competition.
And I like
they went
the
up
way,
against a good team, and they're now 3-1, and they were good enough.
Well, I like the way you wrote it, too, you know, using Bill's quote. And I, because as soon as he said it, I was thinking the same exact thing, but I knew you were writing defense. Bill saying that, you know, it was good enough kind of tells me that he's probably thinking, Jesus, I don't know how the hell
we're
doing.
Son of a bitch, I can't. Unbelievable.
I'll tell you something else, and you guys might disagree with this, and that's fine. It's just because there's no way of knowing for sure. You're never going to get the honest answer from Bill if you asked him. But I got to think that at least to some level, Fred, all of these fourth down attempts are related to the defense. And Bill's maybe lack of 100% faith
right,
in it.
Right.
The fake field goal, in my opinion, was not a real good play on Sunday. Now, it got bailed out because there was a penalty on it, and we got a very fortuitous spot. But if that's short, and now you leave them only 3 points down. That changes the entire complexion of the last 7 minutes of that game.
Oh, absolutely.
So I got to think he felt we have to get a touchdown here because I am no way comfortable only having a field goal lead here in the last 7 minutes.
Yeah.
And now, listen, Bill's never going to say, oh, yeah, sure. That factors into my thinking, but I got to think at least to a level that good enough thing was telling to me.
Well, it could be. You know, I complimented Eric yesterday because at the press conference he elicited two responses that I thought I can't remember Bill being more open about.
You mean Eric? Eric asks questions
at the Monday press conference. Yeah, he sure does.
Maybe it's us. He doesn't feel empowered.
But Bill answered them in a way that he normally doesn't do because he really got into strategy. One of them, you know, he was talking about, making adjustments on defense. You know, it seemed like after the first drive, things tighten up a little bit. And Bill said, yeah, we went to more of a split safety, defense.
Please tell me he wasn't the one who asked after that, can you explain what split safeties are?
No.
Thank God.
No.
Who was that?
I don't know. Honestly, I didn't even hear.
Because I was reading the transcript.
Hey,
and
Mom!
After that, he said that. I know exactly the one that you're talking about that Bill said. And that's one thing I was, because I know we're kind of going overboard now a little bit. Everybody beat up the defense. Now I think we're kind of going overboard a little bit on the secondary and how great they've been. Well, Bill kind of played conventionally in the first drive and then said, we ain't ready to do that.
Right.
And he went back to kind of rolling the coverage over in the back.
Right.
And
he said that gave
really
the corners a little bit more confidence to get a little tighter
and
not give them as much cushion.
Remember that first drive ended with Derek Mason taking like 5 minutes to get off the field. And he was the first drive. I think he had four third down conversions.
Yeah, it was all Derek Mason.
It was so. I think he had five catches.
I don't mean to play everything about
yards.
Patriots.com, but I'm not sure he was the same guy after he. Whatever happened to him, he landed square on his back hard.
There's no question that he wasn't the same guy.
So I think that might have played into it, too, a little bit.
It might have. And the other thing that it was Eric's question again, was the movement on the offensive line that they have.
Well, Jared Gaither got hurt, and this is where I disagree with Bill a little bit. I thought the Patriots had the best pressure they've had from start to finish in the game so far out of the four. But I thought the pressure clearly increased after Gaither left the game. I thought they had one or two plays where they were around Flacco before that, including the play that Gaither got hurt on. But after that, I thought pretty much every pass, they were in his grill. Gaither is the left tackle. He left. They put the rookie, Michael Orr, from right tackle over to the left side and put Marshall Yanda at.
And he said, I didn't see that.
He said he was surprised by
that. Yeah, he says, I'm not questioning what they did. I just didn't see it coming. I wouldn't have guessed that they would do that. That's what he said.
Oh, the moving Orr?
The moving Orr over.
Right.
Interesting.
Like Bill put Nick Kazier in for Matt Light at left tackle in Pittsburgh back in 05 or 06, whenever that happened. Rather than putting whoever it was, Ashworth, or who was the right tackle at the time, maybe Gorin. Whoever was the right tackle, they didn't move him. They just put the backup in at left tackle. Bill said he was surprised by that.
Interesting.
Then took the next three sentences saying, I'm not saying that was the wrong move or I disagree with the strategy.
I think Eric's going the theory that you and I aren't there, so he knows there won't be good questions asked of Belichick, so he feels like he needs to step up. Because PFW rules press conferences.
No, stop telling lies.
Especially
you are an habitual liar.
What happened to the other sound?
But that's good stuff by Eric. I'm glad that
the typical questions
you gave
that we
props.
Get on Mondays and on Tuesdays during conference calls are as follows. Why don't you put it on a button so you can hit the damn button? What have you been doing for 2 weeks?
Kenneth writes in.
Don't make me have Fred bitch slap you again.
Kenneth writes in, early in the season, all of us figured that there would be a game or two the defense lost for the Pats through inability to stop drives. The defense certainly didn't hold on as many third downs as I'd like to have seen. At one point, I think they were doing it. They were converting third downs at over 70%.
I think they were 7 of 9.
The game for the game in general was like 11 to 16 or something.
Yeah, I think
like
they
that.
Ended over 60%.
I want to say it was 7 of 9. Was the
and
the
one of the
stretch.
And one of the stops ended up in a fourth down conversion, right?
Maybe.
Oh, was that? I might be mixing up games.
The D certainly didn't hold on
They're
as many third downs
on me now.
As I'd like to have seen, but it looks like they held in this one. Are you ready to say the D is better than we thought it would be?
Yes.
No.
Or are they who we thought they were?
I think they're who I thought they would be sooner than I thought they'd be that.
No, I think they're better than I thought they were.
Which has me.
But
that's
I will
why
say,
I'm so high on them, because they're ahead of the curve I had in my mind for them, where I thought we would see Butler making plays and Bodden making, and I thought there were guys that had the capabilities. So they're doing it a little earlier. Maybe that means they'll be a little better in the long run.
I also,
but you know
add,
how Bill says learning curves go. There's some that are like this, or some that are step-like, there's some that plateau.
But in the specific way that he asked the question, I thought there was going to be some games where they couldn't get a stop that would cost us games, and I think that we've seen a little of that in week one and in week four. I thought midway through the fourth quarter, down by four, you need a stop, and Buffalo drove it down our throat and scored a touchdown, and the Patriots' offense came out and put two touchdowns on the board in the last 5 minutes to win.
But, you know, and it's absolutely true, Paul. You know, but here's the thing that I think Patriots fans fail to realize. We are so focused on this team. But trying to get off the field on third down, with the exception of very few teams, is a problem. I mean, you look at Minnesota, as good as their defense was or is, I mean, they were having trouble stopping Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Aaron Rodgers threw for over three, and he was converting a lot of third and longs.
Yeah, I don't think Minnesota has a championship defense either, and I think Green Bay does have a very good offense. I think that both of the, I'm not surprised by that at all. But the other thing, they didn't get the one on the Buffalo game, but also in this game, you know, Flacco needed to go 80 yards and needed a touchdown, and through
you needed
nothing,
to stop. Mark Clayton gave it to
through,
you.
Yeah, through nothing that you did, you stopped him at the 8-yard line. So,
but again, it wasn't easy. Like, it wasn't big plays.
No,
it wasn't.
But they didn't.
Everything
stop
feels
him.
Like it's tightening. The
right.
pass rush you
right.
said
that's why
got
I
a
said,
little better.
I
and
said they're better than I thought.
They
yeah,
they
I
lost
agree.
A left tackle and they took advantage of it. Mm-hmm. I just feel like they're doing things that right. they weren't capable of last year, taking advantage of things. And whatever those things are,
I agree.
They never took advantage of them.
But that's why when he asked the question, are they better than we thought they were going to be? And you said no.
Sure.
I said yes.
I don't know.
I think they are better than I thought they were going to be.
They're going to be better than I thought they'd be because they're better early than
well, now the question well, is how do they hold up
yeah,
over the course of the whole
it's
year,
really,
health-wise?
And it's unfair to say because
that's where P. Chung comes in. He doesn't play now.
We don't
he plays
know,
later.
We don't know how they would look if Mayo was still in there.
Well, we got some only, fans wondering if he's going to disrupt the chemistry by coming back.
We can only
laugh.
No, really, that was an SPF.
I have to believe that they get even a little bit better if he's in because of his speed.
Obviously.
Yeah.
There is no way they're worse with Jerod Mayo.
Right.
He's a very good young player. Having two guys that know
Mayo.
How to communicate up front is not a bad thing. It's how it was when you had
right.
Brewski and Vrabel. You are better off because of what
right.
Gary Guyton has
but,
had
but
to
who
do.
But who we thought they were before the beginning of the season had Mayo in the mix. So it's kind of like it's
right.
a different defense. We thought Richard Seymour would be there.
Well, I'll ask you,
know? You
a question. On third downs, sub packages, if there is a decision to be made who's on the field, do you want Mayo or Guyton?
Third down sub
Mayo.
Packages. I still want Mayo. Yeah.
I would say Guyton.
Really?
I think there's a – yeah, that's my point. There's
but,
a discussion there. Like, Guyton
yeah.
has increased his role on every down,
yeah.
so
– not because of anything Mayo hasn't done. I just think Guyton's the faster, more athletic
right.
guy
now,
out
is,
of those two.
Now, is it Dallas Thomas on – so how
Dallas
many
– Thomas
so
hasn't made a play
you
all
have two
year.
Linebackers out there
no,
in that sub-package?
I'm just asking – there's a variety of sub-packages. There's a variety
right. –
Thomas has been off the field a lot. Maybe he'll continue to be – I don't know. I'm just saying
– I know where you're going, Fred. You know, could it be Mayo and Guyton?
Right.
Sure.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
Sure.
But I'm saying if you had to choose between one of those two guys, I think for third down specific pass coverage responsibilities, I think Guyton offers more.
Wow.
Mayo is a far better player.
And Seau.
Interesting.
Mayo
Seau's
now on the
well,
board.
We'll talk about
well,
him.
Well, I don't
second.
Want Seau on the field. I'm not sold on the Seau thing. I know you thought he made all these things
I think in December, I think he's going to be fine. I don't know why we're doing it in early October when he said he
by
can
the
only
way,
play
we,
6 weeks.
We haven't even said that. He's probably going to sign imminently. It could be as early as today or tomorrow.
Right.
And I don't get it. I have no idea why. Fred, you think it has something to do – what was the phrasing?
Well, his usability.
No, his usage. You called it his usage, and I was like, we're going to talk about that?
Fountain of youth?
No, I just
Did
think
he get
that
a shipment?
I think now as Bill gets more and more confident that these corners can hold their own, safeties know what they're doing, they're not going to be bumping into each other back there, I think now you have the opportunity to use Seau the way he plays football, which is just go, disrupt, you know, not necessarily completely freelancing, but he's just a ball hawk, you know. And I think in the past when Seau was here, they didn't really necessarily want him to do that because that wasn't the style of the defense. But you might be able to see more of that from Seau if and when he plays.
Now, Freddie, when they sign Seau tomorrow, who goes?
Probably one
Joey
of those.
It's got to be Joey Galloway, right?
Galloway.
You know,
if you're a healthy scratch,
if someone told
scratch,
me,
you gotta be
if someone told me that Sam Aiken and Julian Edelman would be your 3 and 4 receivers in this team, I'd have said you're crazy.
Who got hurt? That's what I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would worry about who got hurt, but
that's just amazing.
And
to
the other fact of
and
that
your
is
quarterback's Tom Brady.
But the other part of that that's funny is they did nothing. Would they catch a pass each?
They only threw to Aiken 6 times one reception.
To get that one catch. Yeah. I mean,
catches like Mark Clayton.
You're basically operating with 2 receivers.
I know.
I don't.
2 receivers who either missed 2 straight weeks or couldn't walk the Monday before the game.
I mean, we might as well just say we're going to be a West Coast offense.
We might as well just say if Moss
because
and Welk go down,
throwing to the backside of the backfield, the rhythm passing, the whole thing. Just go for it.
Well, I don't know.
You know?
I don't know enough about the different offenses.
I don't really either.
Nor does Fred.
Ken also says, again, on D, I love seeing the more aggressive style of play, especially seeing corners on the receivers instead of Ellis Hobbs yards off them. Change in general strategy, more confidence in the secondary, simply a function of a single game plan. Do you think we'll see more of the split safety look and tighter corner coverage with 3 talented safeties in McGowan, Merriweather, and Sanders? He includes Sanders in there, by the way.
Some people on Pats fans are not.
Yeah.
Sanders, I believe it said James Sanders, the weak link.
Sanders hasn't played a lot the last couple of games.
I can say it. I love him more than anyone. He sucked. He now is missing tackles, which has always been his forte, that allow 50-yard runs.
Well, what happened?
He really didn't play well.
I got no problem with the play down the field because that happens.
Some guys, you know, you'll lose the time and you play harder and play better. Others, it gets into your head,
right,
and now you're overcompensating.
And this is pure speculation, but why am I not getting as much playing? What did I do?
Right.
Well, you know, what am I not doing
and
right?
Now
I try
feel
harder.
Like when I'm out there, every play has
or
to be
or I'm in
play.
Coverage. I got to try and make a play to get some playing time, and all of a sudden the guy runs by me.
Should we go try to pick that scab?
No, don't
week?
Pick that scab.
Why?
Because I like him.
Okay.
Although he could get a – you know how they call him Big Game James? I don't know if Rodney used to call him that. He's got a
– Is that what they call him?
One of those massive – pendant or whatever. Like – you know, 5 inches long that says big game in diamonds.
Ooh, that's not good.
And I'm thinking, you missed a tackle for a 50-yard run. Take that damn thing off.
Finally, Ken has emailed.
No one cuts ties like Andy Hart.
Finally.
Because I'm objective. Thank you very much.
Finally, on Ken's email, what are your thoughts on Welker and Edelman on the field at the same time? Personally, I like that type of mix-up, but it does bring another concern. Welker and Edelman are both short threats. Moss is our only long ball threat right now. Does Galloway come around? Are we waiting for none? Are there other options?
If Welker and Edelman are out there at the same time, you need to have another guy that's wide.
Well, you will.
On the other side. It's got to be a 4-receiver set. I mean, Bill talked about that yesterday. Edelman was there if Welker couldn't go, for when Welker couldn't go. Edelman is a slot receiver. He's not the Galloway. He's not playing for Galloway. Now, maybe 3-4 weeks from now, maybe he can.
And Aiken's not fast enough.
He can learn that.
He can't catch.
Yeah, I just don't think he's accomplished enough of a wide receiver.
Remember how we said he had decent hands in training camp? He doesn't when he plays in games.
Yeah.
Even last year, what game did he play? He played 1 game and he had drops in minimal playing time.
He made
time.
A couple of catches, too. Here's the thing. If he's going to be used as a receiver all year, he's going to make some plays. Like he did, he caught one ball on Sunday.
One out of 6.
No. A nice ball down the middle.
But I'm saying if he's used in that capacity all year, he's going to end up catching some passes. Just like Galloway knew nothing of what was going on. Right. He still had 7 catches.
Or like
in
Ben
3 games.
Has 49 catches in 06 or whatever.
When Brady's that good, he's going to get the ball to anybody at some point.
Now, Watson.
Watson's been terrific.
Yeah.
And as Ron Borges just pointed out in his report card, I don't know if he had off-season surgery on his hands or something, but he has made some really, really tough catches this year.
He really has.
But he's also done that a lot over. Remember we always say he makes the tough ones?
Right.
He's had a
maybe
couple
Brady's, when he has to think about
maybe
it.
Maybe Brady has learned.
Right.
I got to throw him the tough ones.
Right. Because he has
if
had a couple
of. If he's in stride across the middle, don't do it.
He's had a couple
drive,
of drops.
And remember, it was the easy one.
It was
a little out. He was dragging a claw, hit him right in the hands, and he just dropped it.
Right before the game-winning touchdown,
that's
if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. So,
or it might have been the first of the two.
We've been ripping Ben all along. His quarterback didn't learn his strengths and weaknesses.
You know how you always say, sorry, didn't mean to hit you in the hands? Well, that's going to be literal for him.
Hope he doesn't.
Lucas says that all that about Fallen Dynasty, screw them, we know better. My boys did great the other day. Moss, Wilhite, except the first TD. Butler, I hope we would draft him. Also, Merriweather played great. A few questions. One, how do they rotate the secondary? Bodden plus X when playing the nickel package. Wilhite, the nickel one. How do they do that? Well, usually they start out
Bodden and Wilhite start.
Bodden and Wilhite start.
Springs is first in.
Springs comes in, and when he comes in, Wilhite usually goes in the slot, and Springs goes on the left side.
Right. And then when they go in the dime,
Butler.
They bring
Butler
in Butler.
Comes in.
Right.
And Jimmy Sanders plays sometimes.
Now, Fred, you probably want to disagree with that email because it said the dynasty is not over. You have maintained all along that there was no dynasty.
I don't think that what the Patriots did constitutes a dynasty, but I'm very tough about that.
Yeah. So now I do.
Yeah, you're tough.
But you're everything but Patriots.com,
right,
so I can understand.
Sure, right. I'm just objective. Two, who
and
played?
I'm a homer.
You're like me, objective.
Right. You guys are objective. I'm the homer.
Who played
That's
on?
Homer.
You look like Homer.
Oh, who played on third down at the D line? And do you think that leaving Wolfork in sometimes for third down would be good? I mean, he does occupy two men.
Sure. I mean, I don't know about
he
a
doesn't always
ankle.
Come out on third down, does he?
Most
pretty
often.
Much, yeah.
Well, when they have like two down linemen, sometimes he stays in.
Not usually on no.
Okay.
And I think they were trying to monitor him anyway with Terdell Sands.
He definitely didn't play a lot on Sunday.
Right.
But I think on a normal bit, when he's 100%, I don't think he plays too often on third downs.
I think Vince would tell you he should stay in and could be a third down presence.
I think if you're asking me, could he be a good player on third downs, I think he could. I think he could probably make some plays. But you wonder about how much that would take away from his other stuff that he does so well on earlier downs. If he's out there every down, is he, you know, stuff in the middle on a key, you know,
in
key situations on first and second down? I don't know. Maybe he could. Maybe if he played every down, he'd be that much better. I don't know. But it would seem to me that they probably want him fresher on those earlier downs.
Fred, you know what he and I have in common today?
What's that?
Both drove our wife's car to work.
Wow.
Followed him in today.
What'd you think of that, Fred?
Something wrong with your car?
No.
What'd you
she
think of...
She needs to pick my mother at the airport. What's luggage.
Really. Vince's wife, Bianca.
Twittering.
Tweeting out before the game
don't
that
the
didn't
thing.
Like it.
I
didn't like playing, didn't get a chance to talk to him.
What did you say?
Not good. Not good.
Not good? That's not good.
What?
Not good.
Why are you not shaking good. Your head?
I wouldn't like it if I was Vince.
If you were Vince, you'd keep your mouth shut and understand it.
John writes in, when will we learn four words, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis?
It's actually three, and one of them is hyphenated.
I was so surprised at the defense.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Why would anybody be clamoring for him right now?
I don't know. Because you don't have him right now. That's
because basically they
the
just
grass
want
is always greener.
They want to make Maroney inactive.
On the Green Ellis side of the fence.
But why do I need him to do that?
They just want to swap it. That's what they want to do. And I agree with it because Maroney now, we talked about this, Fred.
I thought the running game ran as well as they possibly could against the Ravens, and I don't think it was that good.
Well, Maroney wasn't, and now he's bringing his dancing to kick returns. Suddenly, he's running on kick returns.
Don't misunderstand
like
me.
he used to run on regular plays.
This is not pro Maroney. Don't misunderstand me.
No, I know,
me.
But I think
but you have two other backs that have played pretty well in Morris and Taylor.
But the
why
issue
do we
is
have to get Ben Jarvis
Maroney
Green-Ellis
starts and plays? So they're saying get rid of him, which means Ben Jarvis can now play.
Right,
not necessarily start.
Yeah, I don't want him.
I mean, he's your starting running back still. For some reason. I don't know why. I don't know how it works. I don't know what Bill's thought process is.
I understand what the,
and
the
Bill,
point
I trust.
There is. I would if it said to me, why is he starting? Why is Fred Taylor not starting? Then I understand that. But I don't understand the clamor for Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Can you answer that for me? Why he still starts? Because I'll go up.
What does starting mean, though? I mean,
no.
Really.
No, I don't know, but I don't know why he gets to.
Yeah.
I mean, he had six carries, right? Six carries.
Seven carries.
So seven carries, 6 yards.
Seven.
He's not the feature
to
back.
To which I said, you know you're a bust if your yards is lower than your carries.
Oh, you had him. How many yards?
1,400.
I'm going to tell you that
every week. He's going to come 1,390 short.
I'm going to bust your chops.
I have finally decided I'm off him. It's done. It's over. Thigh injury, six carries.
I might be too.
And now kick returns,
18-8.
Why is he here? Bring Brandon Tate up. He can play receiver.
Enough is enough.
I'm sorry, Lawrence. I gave you 4 years.
Yeah.
You stink.
You guys are right about the
and
kick
I'm as
returns,
I've
too.
Been as patient as anyone with him.
I said he was going to rush for some ridiculous
but I agreed with you.
Year.
I agree.
See, I jumped off last year. I thought last year was the 1,400 year. I thought he was going to have 20 touchdowns.
But I bought into the whole shoulder thing.
You know,
see, I didn't buy into that.
Healthy.
You know, here's what kills me about Lawrence Maroney.
By the way, a feature
I'll
this week at PFW coming up on
really?
Maroney.
Really? Another one?
Here's
chess feature.
But here's what kills me about Lawrence
ironically
Maroney.
Called Nice Move, which, you know, he hasn't had one.
I'll watch other games and guys returning kicks of lesser ability than Lawrence Maroney, and they just get upfield.
How about
and,
the little guy from the Steelers who
the thing that
is so little
me,
that teams hold him up and take the ball, but he still runs full bore.
That low.
By the way, Clay Matthews had a great play yesterday.
Okay.
In the game, he just stripped the ball out of Adrian Peterson's hands.
Oh, that was him?
Yeah, it was Clay Matthews.
I thought
Matthews.
It was Hawk.
No, it was Clay Matthews.
He's our white linebacker.
Yeah.
The thing about Maroney,
speaking of usage,
though, is he used to do that. He was a very effective kick returner.
He just get upfield.
As recently as opening night,
when
he took the opening kick of the season, exactly the way he used to do it.
Dancing with the stars.
As a rookie, and all of a sudden, he's back to stuttering and stammering.
You know what? They should try hypnosis with
him.
I think hypnosis might work. What?
What if they cut him?
I wouldn't be shocked.
I'd fall on the floor stunned.
Really?
Joey Galloway didn't play the other day. This
Lawrence
guy is
Maroney
still
started at running back and kick returner. And you wouldn't be surprised if they could.
Well, he also thinks they won easy on Sunday.
That's true.
I think they handled the Ravens. Let's see. John also says, I was surprised at the defense. They played much better than I thought they would. Brandon McGowan has some real heart, and I think his talent will develop to match it for the first time in a while. Merriweather looks full throttle. He may not have made every play, but he was gunning for it. The corners are getting quicker.
Pun intended.
The corners are getting quicker and looked a bit more accurate in coverage. Seems like Bill is trying to put a defensive team back together until the offense gets its act together. I know, spoiled fans, but like everyone, I want those Brady throwing four TD games again.
Did you notice on the first drive that they were off when we were joking about Ellis Hobbs returning, and then they did tighten it up and they went to the two deep and everything? Why did they do that?
Why did they start the game with only one safety?
And playing off on the corner?
Because I think that he wanted to see if he could start doing some different stuff. I mean, I'm speculating there, but you know how the whole thing, you can't do, X, Y, and Z until you can get Vanilla right? Well, I think Vanilla is two deep safeties with, rolled coverage.
But they weren't Vanilla. I mean, they were coming at it.
No, but
They had that one play. Remember where you mocked me because I said, well, Sanders and McGowan meeting in the backfield. It was really McGowan hitting the quarterback.
But on the first
step,
drive?
Later.
No, well, yeah, because they went back to the split safety thing to protect the corners, I thought.
No, I know, but they weren't any more Vanilla. I picture two deep safeties just sitting back as Vanilla. And they were coming at it. I mean, when they were in their sub packages, they were blitzing often with defensive backs. They were coming at it. And I just don't understand starting the game with, we're going to play the corners 10 yards off and let you march down the field with Derek Mason.
Yeah, it was striking how easy that first drive was for Baltimore. I mean, there's no question about that.
Webradio@patriots.com is email address, 508-543-7482. I haven't given that out all the show.
That's good.
But Big Al knows the number. He's on the phone right now.
Boys, how are you?
Good.
Hey, Al.
Hey, listen, Shop Talk is a good show.
Thanks.
That is a good show.
Good.
Now, it's not as good as Cheerleader Chit Chat.
Well, that's
a damn good show.
It was Cheerleader Chit Chat was discontinued, so you're going to have to be satisfied with Shop Talk.
Easy,
now
you're making me uncomfortable.
I've got all the Cheerleader Chit Chats on my iPod shuffle.
Oh, good, good.
You creep.
He said he was joking.
You mentioned Len St. Jean.
Yeah,
Lenny St. Jean.
Yep.
You know, this is a give me a 30-second little war story here. But back in the day when Eddie Andelman had the sports huddle,
right?
On one of the he called.
All right.
He called Buckingham Palace in London.
Yeah,
is that where it is?
And asked, you'll see it when you go over there this year.
You
want to check it out. But he called there, and they got through to the public relations or somebody, the switchboard, I forget. But he says, listen, we will trade you Mike Montler and Len St. Jean for any two of your guards.
I get it.
Lenny St. Jean.
He was a guard.
Right.
I don't know the other guy, but I just assume.
That was worth the wait, wasn't it?
That was tremendous. I actually enjoyed it.
I laughed.
But anyways, that's an old Boston radio right there. Is the sports huddle still on?
It's once a week on Sunday nights, I think.
Yeah, there is a current version of that.
Yeah, he rents.
Does it have any of the same people in it, or are they
Eddie
all
on?
One of them, I think, is still on with Eddie.
Mark Witkin.
Mark
Witkin, Eddie McCarthy, Jimmy McCarthy.
I listened loyally. I love the show.
Pilo's on also.
See, I was never an Eddie fan.
Oh, I was. I thought he was great.
popsicles or fudgicles. Never did it for me.
Loved it. It's good stuff.
What is popsicles or fudgicles?
What do you like better, popsicles or fudgicles?
Anyways, guys, I agree with you about a lot of the defense. They're really stepping up. The Mike Wright kid is stepping up now that in Jarvis Green both. Now that they're playing a lot more, and McGowan's looking good. Gary Guyton's sticking in there. In addition to being a homer, you know, I try to follow some of the other teams, and you think you know some of the other players. I got to plead guilty. I had no idea who the hell Lee Bodden was. Who's that? And he is a stud. He has turned out to be pretty damn good.
Well, just
early,
show, it just
I like it so far.
It just shows how thirsty we've been for his decent corner play. I mean, Lee Bodden's good.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. calling him a stud, I don't know about that, but compared to what we've had recently,
he's played well. He's played
but
well
he's what
Ellis
solidified
Hoff was
supposed
things.
To be. Right. You know?
Just a decent, good corner.
But it shows how starved we've been for some decent play back there.
It is a comparison. It's a game of comparison, right. I guess, at the ultimate. And
if he were filling in for
what we've had, he's looking pretty damn good. I hope he doesn't get hurt. Keep him healthy.
If he was the immediate replacement for Asante Samuel or Ty Law, you wouldn't be quite as happy with him.
It's the old adage. You don't want to be the guy who replaces the guy. You want to be the guy who replaces the guy who replaced the guy.
Right. Aaron Rodgers.
He's replacing Ellis Hobbs,
right.
Not Asante Samuel, and he looks a lot better as a result.
Right.
Now, moving on to next week, I'm one of these, you know, homer fans that I've just had this phobia about playing in Denver for years. I don't care if it's a regular season. I don't care if it's playoffs. I don't care who their coach is. I don't care who their quarterback is. We just have traditionally struggled out there, and I don't know if it's the altitude or nosebleeds or quite what the deal is, but, you know, if I'm not mistaken, the only game in recent memory that we've won out there was that goofy game where we took the intentional safety.
That's correct.
And had to hit David Givens with the late TD catch there. That's the only game in recently that we've won out.
Yeah, Belichick's first year, they also won out there. Matter of fact, his first win.
Yeah, that broke the long string of losses in Denver.
Back in 2000. Yeah. But, yeah, in recent memory, the 2003 intentional safety game. Yep.
Yep.
There you go. And who was quarterbacking Denver that night, if I'm not mistaken? Danny Cannell.
That's right.
We had to get lucky to beat Danny Cannell.
Danny
Canine. Yep, you're right.
You know, so, look, you know, I'm not counting this one as a win, you know, automatically. I don't care. You know, I know they've had an easy schedule so far, and you could say that the bubble's about to burst and all this other stuff, but I think it's going to be a tough opponent. That altitude is goofy, and, you know, the fans are crazy out there. They're undefeated.
What will we be saying if the Patriots lose this game? Will we be saying the Patriots aren't as good as we thought they were, or the Broncos are a lot better than we thought they were? Which will be the prevailing argument?
Well, I mean, the cop out position would be a little bit of both. I think it would be a little bit more that this confirms how good the Broncos really are, because I think as much as people like to sort of there's a growing legion of Patriots haters out there in America. I still think there's a bigger legion of Cowboys haters. So even though they beat the Cowboys last week at home, I think this would really cement it for them that, hey, the Broncos are legit. And Josh McDaniel beat the mentor, you know, the student beats the teacher type of thing. And it would be more about them than it would be about us.
Al, I've seen the future, and it does not include Bill Belichick walking out to the 50 to congratulate a victorious Josh McDaniels. There's just no way I can envision that. I'm sorry.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right, but I'm just telling you, I don't care who the coach is. I don't care who the quarterback is. I just hate playing out there.
Yeah.
Last year we had him at home, and it was a blowout. And fortunately, again, I guess we caught a break in that game in the sense that the quarterback hit his hand on a lineman, and it kind of screwed up his finger in the first quarter, and Cutler was never really didn't have a real good game. I think possibly because of that.
That's true.
But the location is what bothers me about this game coming up. But I think we're going to get through it. It's gonna be close. But if I had to predict, I'd say another one of these squeakers like last week. I agree, Paul. I think that they went for the touchdown because they weren't comfortable with just a 6-point lead. They wanted to make it 10 because to make it a two-score game, they weren't really comfortable with the defense holding them down the stretch.
Yeah,
the
and I have saw why. Yeah, and I have no way of – Bill's never going to say something like that about his team. So There's no way to prove that, but I just the feeling that I get watching, and I know that Bill's always been aggressive on fourth downs, but that he usually is aggressive in situations that make sense. To me, that one didn't make a lot of sense. That fake field goal.
It was funny. I was watching.
That was a little bit of a reach. Yeah,
I was watching the game last night, and the Packers decided to go on like fourth and inches, and it was on, you know, the Viking side of the field, and I forget who Jaws said, you know, well, courageous move, and I'm thinking, Belichick does that in his sleep. I mean, he wouldn't even think about that one.
I would.
It's an automatic move for
right.
Belichick.
I would go for it on fourth down so often.
Yeah,
I'd be out of a job in less than a year.
Yep. Not just
fellas,
of the
have a great one, and we'll call
God,
you.
All right, Al, thanks for calling.
I'd be the Mark Cuban of coaches. I'd be yelling. Harbaugh got that penalty for arguing. I would get like three of those a week.
Oh, yeah, another one. I mean, what did he say? When was the last time we saw one of those?
Well, first of all, now, what we saw on TV was after the penalty had been called. I'm not sure it was Harbaugh that the flag was thrown on.
Oh, I'm pretty sure it was.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it was.
I don't know.
And I'd like, when did the last time we saw that?
To me, it's not called.
I've seen Bill at the 20-yard line chewing out an official.
And not the arms going up and down.
So I can't imagine what you need to do to get flagged.
Yeah, that's,
otherwise.
That's why I don't know who, if it was Harbaugh. It could have been.
But I don't care who it was. I just.
I don't know.
Well, how long have we seen that call? At all, whoever it was.
A bench foul, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I can't remember the last time I saw a bench penalty in the NFL.
Yeah.
You see him in college every once in a while, but.
But you see a lot of stuff in college
well,
you don't want
you know,
to see.
You like, know, like 07, they're not a team that can keep their cool. When things go when things go awry for them, they lose their cool. Ask Bart Scott. Tony
Who's
writes
on the
in.
Jets?
Tony writes in.
That was a good question you asked, by the way, Fred. Yeah. What will we be saying if the Patriots lose? Are the Patriots not as good as we thought, or is Denver better than we thought?
Right.
Denver's better than we thought, and I'll be saying it, no question.
I will be, too.
They are what their record says they are.
Well, I won't be saying that, because I still won't say they're a football team.
I mean, it's funny. I mean, they're 4-0, and Tennessee's 0-4, and if they were playing tomorrow anywhere, I would say Tennessee will win.
Yeah, me too.
It probably wouldn't happen the way things are going. But
right, we just don't know. Says you can't judge a schedule till after.
Are they really calling him McGenius?
Yeah. I hope not.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
I thought you just made that up.
No.
I heard this is.
I said that they're calling him McGenius.
No, I know, but I think you lie sometimes. You got a little bored just in you. You say that.
You know, there's a chance if you know we're
That's
out,
the most
we're
insulting
obviously,
thing he's ever
we're obviously playing a 4-0 team this week.
Yes.
There's a possibility we could be playing an 0-5 team the week after, and if things hold. You know,
0-6
hold serve. We could play
0-6
team in London. That's amazing.
Why?
Through 6 weeks, you're playing. Every team has a zero in one side of the column. I don't think that's.
I think
ever
it'd
been
be more amazing.
I'm not even
like,
mad.
What does it mean?
It's just a stupid fun fact, Paul.
It's not really that much fun.
You know, that's the first time I've seen it referred to that way. Someone actually asked Bill that at the press conference yesterday.
What? Asked what?
Well, geez, Bill, counting the 0-0 in the first week, you played an under. I don't know who did it. I don't know who asked it. I don't know. I don't know that was who asked it.
It is only the second time in history that.
But who cares?
A team has played an undefeated team 4 weeks in a row. They're not counting the opener because everybody was undefeated. But I believe it was the 82 Eagles. It's one other team since the merger.
I'm run for
86.
Excuse me.
86 Eagles.
Tony writes, and I heard Brady say that the Pats D-backs throwing the lumber around was a contributing factor to Clayton dropping that last pass. When I saw it, I didn't think that was the case. But when I saw a replay last night, I think it did look like Clayton was curling up to protect himself when he dropped the ball. Did you guys see the replay, and do you think there was
I saw
anything?
The replay
He saw McGowan
times.
Coming, and he curled up like a fetus.
He dropped it. He dropped the ball.
No, he didn't
he did
drop
the ball.
Dropping entail
because he had the he had the lobster arms.
Because he was trying to run before he had the ball,
and
the ball hit him.
He was falling backwards.
And by the way, the ball hit him in the chest, so it had nothing to do with
nothing
his arms.
Nothing to do with arms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Is that the new yeah?
That's
I mean,
when,
the new right.
You, alligator arms is when you don't want to reach out for the ball because you know you're going to get
hit. It hits you in the chest.
He didn't need to.
I'm not familiar with that.
He didn't need to reach out. The ball hit him in
the
nine. The
lobster arms is when you have the claws and you don't know what to do with them.
The ball hit him in the nine.
You try to snap at the ball instead of using
He didn't try to snap at it. Bounced off his chest.
See, I would rather focus on the other 59 minutes where the Patriots, you know, did a lot of good things. I don't want to focus on the other team dropping the ball.
You want to talk about the penalty again?
Not really. By the way, you're doing the point.
No, I'm not. No, it's already been emailed.
You can make him call you Fathead.
It's
fat
already been emailed in. The camera angles are set up. It's Kirsch and Perillo. Fat versus fat tonight on Nick.
Let's see.
Go ahead, Fred.
There's just so many emails.
Tell you my God, Fred.
There's so many emails about what
Read
we were
one.
Talking about before, and we said we were going to move on. So I'm trying to get through those.
Okay. Andy, what about your buddy in Pittsburgh?
Oh, Mendenhall was ridiculous. I agree. You know what he kind of looked like? Reminded me of Emmett Smith, weaving through the secondary there, just finding the end zone. Little Emmett Smith in him.
Oh, boy.
Emmett Mendenhall Smith. Is ridiculous. Fred says he has to have two seasons worth 100-yard games to before he'll admit
before
that
he
I
says
was
he's,
right.
Before he says he's legit.
Right. Right.
Wasn't enough that he was just pounding the ball out and into victory and had a nice game.
And then he'll fumble and get hurt, and that'll be the end of it. Jack
or he won't.
Jack London writes in.
Jack London.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, he's Jack from London, but I call him Jack London.
I know you.
Jack
know
the Ripper.
Hey, fellas. Good win on Sunday, although a little too close for comfort. Good to see Brady.
It was easier than Fred thought.
Good to see Brady and Moss getting some sort of rhythm together, so I expect to see more of that. I enjoyed the game, and it was the first time I've seen of my Patriots for a while. It was also good to hear a British accent on the show and some talk about the game over here. The American fans are in for a surprise when they turn up to Wembley in 3 weeks. There are usually fans from all 32 teams, even the Lions, and I'm sure the UK Patriots fans will make themselves heard. Wembley is like our Super Bowl, and I can't wait to see my Patriots destroy the probably winless by then Buccaneers. So there you go.
Probably winless. Did we discuss the fact that there was a heap chant when he caught a pass early in the game? Like 30% Ravens.
I heard
that was an amazing amount of Baltimore fans.
Yeah, I heard there were a lot of Ravens fans in the crowd.
Well, I know a bus, a number of buses. I did a radio thing on Saturday, and the station sent up a number of buses for a weekend in Boston. They actually did Fenway Park on Saturday night and then came to the game. So that was, but I mean, still, a couple buses is only a couple hundred people. There were more than that.
When I walked out to CBS scene before the game, there were a lot of purple shirts.
I mean, there was a heap. They said,
where are they getting the tickets from?
Online. If you want to pay through the nose, you can get tickets.
Yeah.
You know how that works.
Sam in Chicago, thanks for the show. Great game on Sunday. Rodney Harrison still uses the term slacks. Who uses that word? Haven't heard your
call
thoughts.
Call them dungarees, too.
Haven't heard your thoughts on the team going west and facing baby Belichick. Well, we did talk about it a little bit. I'm amused by Josh McDaniels' gray sweatshirt look like his master, who's coming to town to pay him a visit and break the skeptical 4-0 Denver record. I don't know if it's skeptical.
You know the thing about McDaniels
well,
now?
Well, we're skeptical of them.
Clearly, we all like McDaniels and
love him.
That, you know, it's a biased, you know, we're biased here. And I'm not pretending to be anything other than that. But what I like about McDaniels is that he's embracing it. Like he said specifically, I'm wearing this hoodie as
but
a tribute.
I thought he stopped. Is he wore it this week?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, he wears it every
week.
Because
he stopped for a while saying he was going to get away from it.
No, he wore it this week.
But rather than, you know, he's not hiding from it. He's saying this is specifically in tribute to Bill Belichick, who taught me everything.
Right. You know,
it's not one of these things he's trying to emulate.
I hear what you're saying, Paul. I agree. Absolutely. Just be honest about
it. Right. You know, if he's not trying to pretend he's splitting the atom in some way. And yesterday I read him, some comments that he made in Denver saying, listen, it's not about trying to copycat anybody. But this is a way that I was indoctrinated into the league, and it's a system that I know works. I saw it firsthand, and I understand why and how it works. So why wouldn't I want to try to implement the same kind of style?
And why doesn't anyone say, why does Rex Ryan? I mean, they all do it. They do the exact same damn thing. Rex Ryan photocopied the defense.
Well, they all say it's a copycat league.
It is.
Right.
So I don't. It's just like some guys get like fixated on that's the story with them, whereas others it isn't, and they all do it.
Right. John in South Carolina was nice enough to give us our food today.
Thank you, John.
It was tremendous.
Very good.
Thank
you, John. It actually ended the fight, too, because when the food arrived, we stopped yelling at each other.
Let's see. John says, hey, guys, in the previously harassed but now only laughed at because he is a bad artist, unsuccessful with women, and a masculine challenged person.
Masculine challenge.
Where is he, by the way?
I have no formal artistic training.
Sorry about lunch. Hope it was all good, except for the timing. I was in meetings from 9:30 to 11:45. Big corporate. Can you imagine that? You're in a meeting. I got to go. I got to buy these guys lunch.
The timing was perfect.
What guys? Are they a client? Well, no, they're on the radio. What are you talking
about?
Well,
they're not really on the radio, so to speak. It's more of a podcast.
Local station? No. It's an internet radio show. Patriots.com. What?
It's an acquired taste.
Jeez.
That's true. I'm
trying to figure that one out. Got a bone to pick. One of you said the Patriots did nothing to stop the last Baltimore drive. I say one of the reasons the guy dropped the ball was because our secondary actually hit receivers, and the receiver was concerned about the hit he was going to receive. He lost focus on the ball because he wanted to get down before the safety hit him.
No. I'm sorry. I can give you all this. The first 59 minutes of the game, I can give you all the superlatives you want about the Patriots in the secondary in specifically. I can't give credit for a guy dropping a pass. I can't.
Paul, I'll just go back to what I said to you in pregame. Who's 89? He stinks.
Right.
Because he was running warm-ups and doing, you know, not even slowing the ball down as it went through his hands.
He dropped the first down pass in the end zone, too. I mean, it's, you know.
He's Ben Watson.
That's a play that needs to be made. The fourth down play is a play that needs to be made 100 times out of 100 in the NFL.
Todd says, I can't read his title. But anyway.
Do it. I want to know what it is. Is it directed at me?
No, it's directed at Eric, and we're not doing that anymore.
Oh.
Yeah. Is it funny, though?
Ooh. Yeah.
So you'll read it to us off the air?
Yeah. Remember back when we used to get sacks on the quarterback? Has anyone seen Derek Burgess? Do we need to get more aggressive early in the game with some safety or corner blitzes to get some pressure? We seem to be doing more of it in the second half.
Yep.
Or is it the game plan to get the lead and add pressure late? That's always been the way, though, with Belichick. He usually dials up the blitzes late in the
game. They've been front runners for a long time.
And how many sacks do we have on?
Two.
Only two?
Just right. They had six hits, I believe.
Ten hits.
Fred says ten
hits.
Ten hits.
Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah. Because Guyton had three, Wright had three, which is one of those misleading.
Which is really only
the
one.
The sacks and the hits
right. That
same.
Gets counted in there.
And then they had like 1-1-1 McGowan, a few other guys.
But I will say, now the Ravens had three sacks in the game, and the Patriots had two. The Patriots had far more pressure on Flacco than the Ravens had on Brady.
Right.
So
I agree.
That's one of those Belichick things. The sack is kind of overrated. Now, Baltimore had one, you know, one really important one that wasn't overrated. Obviously,
you can't overlook the sack either.
No, and that was the key play of the game.
Pay attention to both.
Well, you can look over the sack, but I wouldn't want to do
Paul
that.
Paul doesn't understand where we're going.
I know exactly what you're talking
about. You've got to massage the grapes as well.
I'm trying to move
past. What? It's an open we have.
Anyway, I thought the Patriots had by far and away the most pressure they've had in the passer.
Were
in the
you trying
games.
To talk serious football?
I don't
think
they had any pressure in the first three games. They had a lot of pressure on.
You go for it, Paul.
Sorry.
Stay tough.
Well, that's me. I'm the homer.
The
I'm all about Patriots.
The difference is, Paul. You said the Ravens only had whatever they
three.
But
three sacks.
They have that guy that's capable of doing what he did. Just on any given play, beating a left tackle to the quarterback, causing a turnover that turns to 7 points. Derek Burgess is not capable of that.
And I
Patriots
did see
not.
That.
He showed up a little bit
once,
more.
One
play.
Once. That's the first time I've seen him in a month and
one
a half
play,
here,
and I
including
do have
practice
to, I do have to say it, because after every other game I've said I still have yet to see Derek Burgess. I can no longer say that. He flashed around the corner once.
You know, it's just, I think we've kind of lowered our standard. If
by
you
the
got
way,
near the quarterback, we gave him credit.
By the way, that puts him on even par with Adalys Thomas, just to be fair. Because Adalys Thomas has not made a play yet.
Now, when exactly are you going to go after him and ask him this in the locker room, Paul?
He's,
I'm just wondering.
I'm scared of him.
You big.
I'm scared of him. Why am I? How can I? I'm not a fraud. I'm afraid of him. I'm not saying nothing.
What?
Nope.
You were a tough guy.
Let's see. On the phone right now is Craig. Craig, how you doing?
I'm fine. How the hell are you guys?
Well, we're doing great.
You couldn't hold on. You had to hang up and call back later.
Is this cabbie brawl? Nice.
Well, hell, I was on hold for 25 minutes. What do you want me to do?
That's how real radio works, baby.
I've been on the show for an hour and 55 minutes. I didn't leave.
Yeah, you're getting paid to be on the show.
No, we're not.
Not really.
We get thanks to John in South Carolina or whatever.
Yeah, we get lunch.
Actually, now that you guys are just inundated with emails and phone callers, due to the popularity of the show, because you guys have been doing such a good job. You know, really, you guys ought to be on for 3 hours a day instead of just two.
Well, we have other things to do.
Now that you're working all this overtime as an engineer, you ought to send us lunch once a week.
I'll tell you right now, I'm in favor of making it a four-hour show. If you can eliminate some of the other duties that
we
have.
See, we're not radio guys. We're just doing this, you know.
Yeah, I know, Fred.
I love this show.
Make it happen, Fred.
Yeah, make it happen, Fred.
Yeah. Well,
we do Belichick in the locker room in the morning, and then we do 4 hours of radio in the afternoon. You get someone else to come in and take care of that paper thing.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, listen, going back to all you guys arguing earlier, okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to guess that you and I are wrong.
Every time there's a change in, you know, the rules, it's done to protect the offense because they like the game to be exciting. And every time the change happens, defensive players, defensive coordinators, and coaches get really upset. I mean, when we put a hurting on the Rams in the Super Bowl, we were making contact. Our DBs were killing their wide receivers. What happened? They changed the rules, okay? And, you know, we were not happy about it. You guys were not happy about it. You know, we fans weren't happy about it, but it's the way it is. So it took a while for the refs to, you know, to be more consistent. I think it's the same thing here. Regarding, you know, the calls, you know, they are what they are. Every quarterback in the league begs for flags. Wide receivers do it every game. Punters do it every game.
Yep.
I don't see any problem with Brady, you know, throwing his hand up, and surprisingly,
Craig, that's not the problem.
It's the pumping and the laughing that people have a problem with.
Oh, that was a cheap one.
Yeah. Not gesturing to the referee for the flag. It was the reaction after the flag was thrown.
I want him looking for the call because, like a lot of our emailers have said, you look for any competitive advantage you can get. But in this case, when they've got these special rules, he's got to watch it because if he flaunts that and laughs about it, he's asking for trouble.
It'd be like LeBron at the defense. It's like a basketball player who I used the LeBron analogy. You go through the flight and you throw your arms up and you're looking for a foul, and then all of a sudden they call it and you start laughing and say, hey, you didn't even touch me.
Now, by the way, we still only have heard one person say that he did that. I don't know if he actually did it.
Just watch. You can see the smile in the laughing.
I didn't see a smile.
Oh,
he was fist pumping because he was excited.
I saw the fist pump.
And he smiled because he's a competitive guy. He's trying to win the freaking game.
Well, yeah, because that's what competitors usually do is they smile in the heat of the battle.
Well, that's okay.
That's true.
What's wrong with that?
Well,
that's
when
not a competitive thing.
You're having fun.
He knows he duped the ref into calling a penalty.
Well,
if that's why he was doing it, then I have a problem. That's what he's smiling for.
There's a difference between smiling and laughing at somebody.
And he was laughing at somebody.
Who was it?
The Ravens.
I didn't see it. And oh, by the way, the reason why the coach got flagged, he did get flagged. I had it on my surround sound. I know, you know, Paul, he's got surround sound. Don't know if his system's still working because it's, what, 5 years old now?
He's talking to me. I'm at the games.
Yeah, we don't hear all that.
I don't watch the games on surround sound.
Oh, believe me,
I wish I could.
But anyway, the coach kept yelling, BS, BS. Oh. You're full of...
Shouldn't
whatever.
Be flagged for
then
that.
He shouldn't have got flagged.
And it's not college.
If that's
and
it, then I don't know why. Because we all have seen Parcells and Belichick and Coughlin and all these guys do lots worse and not get flagged. So I got to believe there was something else there.
Yeah, well, it might have been, but that's all I heard before they tuned the volume down. I just wanted to say that I'm very, very, you know, proud, very surprised at how well our defense is playing. Regarding the play on Clayton did something you see a lot more wide receivers doing these days. Even when they don't need to, they're jumping. And they're jumping because if their feet are planted and they get plowed into, you know, it could be an ankle injury, a knee. And a lot of guys are jumping now, so, you know, to try to reduce injuries.
I don't know.
See it all the time.
Well, I do see some of that, but I thought Clayton was falling backwards.
I thought he was leaning backwards, trying to squirt.
No, he was airborne when it hit him in the chest.
I thought he was trying to squirt through a hole.
And even if he was, I think a lot of guys jump because they don't have confidence in their hands.
Yeah, they want a body catch.
They want a body
catch. Yeah, they want to protect the ball.
They want to give themselves something
to catch. I don't see how jumping is putting you less susceptible to injuries. You got nothing to...
Well, if you're smashed into the knee and your feet are planted...
Right.
You know, your knee is going to give. If you're airborne, then your foot and the rest of your leg is going to go with the direction of the contact.
I think a lot of them jump to get the ball even with their midsection because they want to use their body.
They're scared.
They
can't catch it.
Right.
Well,
in any regard, the ball hit him in the nine.
All I've got to say is, guys, it turned out the way it turned out. Like Coach says, it is what it is. Our guys played a good game. No, we're probably not the best team in the league, the most talented.
What?
But we're making it work.
I agree.
You got that right, Craig.
I think if Craig were a real fan, he'd say we're the best team in the league.
Well, Andy, that's what you get for thinking.
Wow.
We're not right now.
So I'll pencil
you
in.
We got a lot of young guys. We got guys coming back from injuries. We're doing what we can, and we're doing well.
So, all right. All right, Craig. Thanks for calling in.
You
stick with it, Craig. Don't let these guys get you down. Hey, before I turn it over to John Rook and Patriots Playbook, I want to tell everyone to celebrate the Patriots' 50th season. The team is raffling off five coveted low-number Massachusetts license plates. Each number represents a New England Patriots Hall of Famer.
56.
Tomorrow, I'm talking Wednesday, we're also raffling off the number 50. In recognition of 50 seasons of Patriots football, there are currently less than a half dozen two-digit Patriots license plates in circulation, and now you have a chance to win one. In addition to the 50, they got Grogan 14, Capoletti 20, Nelson 57, and Coates 87. Tickets can be purchased for $10 per ticket or 3 for $25 or 15 for $100.
Proceeds from the 50th season license plate raffle will benefit the New England Patriots Charitable Foundation, and you buy your raffle tickets on patriots.com. So you have one day left to get tickets for the number 50. If you're a Massachusetts resident and have a or have a plate, a car registered in Massachusetts, you're eligible.
Is that legal?
If you're making license plates?
That's Fitty, not 50. Fitty.
John, how you doing?
Is 11 available?
Good friend.
11, not yet, Paul.
When are you going to make that available for me?
We'll let you know.
Do I have first crack?
When Edelman's 11? Career ends.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's a travesty. Hey,
John, how'd that prediction work out for you?
Prediction worked out pretty well, I thought.
What'd you predict?
I had the Patriots winning if Welker played. I had the Ravens winning if Welker didn't play.
With the exact same
Wait
score.
A minute. You so cheated. You Mark Clayton went to Oklahoma, didn't he? And yes, you knew he sucked and would drop that ball on the goal line that allowed you to win.
I knew all that.
I meant to take a shot. I meant to take a shot at strippers.
Early
about
scouting
that.
Report.
Early
damn it.
Early report, I know. So, yes, it did pan out very well. So far, I'm riding the hot streak where the Patriots are concerned.
Are people giving you a hard time because you thought that they had a chance to lose?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Fred was running down something this morning. Somehow everybody thinks that everybody picked against the Patriots. I mean, Andy and I both picked Baltimore, so we were wrong.
Okay.
But somehow Fred read this thing off to us this morning that there's been this impression that everybody picked against the Patriots this week.
Impression that everybody? You mean internally?
No.
Everywhere.
No.
Or just no. Everyone, media. Everywhere.
Everywhere. In the media, nationally.
And that's the impression that
I think
who
it was
has.
Pretty much
I
don't know. Split, right?
Don't who has that impression?
It was a certain writer.
Oh, yeah.
So ridiculous.
The media. No, I don't think everybody picked against the Patriots, but I'd say it was pretty much 50-50.
Yeah, I think about 50-50.
And by the way.
Which, shockingly, two teams that are good teams.
The game went down to the last play.
I know.
So, I mean, who
exactly the point.
Whoever you picked in this game.
You weren't far off.
You were right, basically.
Yeah. I mean, Mark Clayton dropped a ball. Now, I heard somebody tried to give me the argument yesterday that, oh, you know what? He heard footsteps.
Oh, you're going to get a lot of that in the next 2 hours, my friend.
He heard footsteps, so I mean, that was a great play.
That was Fred.
You're going to get a lot of that in the next 2 hours.
He saw McGowan coming.
That was Fred.
Not even close.
He dropped the ball.
Fred actually said this game was easier than he thought it would be, even though it ended in the last 30 seconds.
You thought it was easier?
Paul gave me the nod in the second quarter.
I did, and I was as wrong as I've ever been on the nod. I gave him the nod when the Patriots were up 10-7 and Gaither got hurt for Baltimore. I said, that's game. I was wrong.
You said that?
I did. I was wrong.
After Gaither went down?
Well, this is what I do.
It's an emotional drain.
I don't – listen, anybody
– I resign.
You know, like Fred who can accurately predict what a team is after they play 16 games.
Yeah.
Anybody could wait till the score is decided before they say the game is over. Right. I like to do it when I – you know, when the game is
Once
still
the game
within
is
a
still
score.
Within, you know,
within a
yeah,
score
within
either
a
way.
Score
but
either
Paul's
way.
Never been wrong on
well,
the nod.
Well, no, that's not true. I've been wrong.
Have
I've been
you?
Wrong.
He really is asleep.
When have you
wheel.
Ever been wrong at
I've
the
been
nod.
Wrong a couple of times. There's been times that I've given the Patriots the nod and they've then fallen behind and come back to win. Clearly,
yeah, but that, you had that. But you had that in the overall scheme.
No,
right?
If
was
the game
the
ends
plan.
In a win,
no,
you're right,
but
Paul.
Listen, no, that's not true. The true spirit of the nod, Andy, am I right? The true spirit of the nod is the game's not in question anymore.
And kind of like you, Fred, he gives the nod to the Patriots when they're ahead generally.
Yeah.
They usually win those games. I mean, it's not. It's like your record is always good picking
no,
the Patriots.
Like the first
they
ever,
win 17
the fastest
games
nod
every
I ever
year.
Game was at Cleveland in 04. Bethel Johnson returned the opening kick. 14 seconds in, I looked at Fred. I go, that's game.
It's a game.
Now, that one, that was right. They ended up winning by like 3 touchdowns.
Well, the secret, though, is to figure, you know, whether it's game, set, and match before the kickoff.
Well, my point is, I like to see how the game is going.
Like John always does.
I'm still
gonna
close, you know?
Getting a little
me
cocky
and,
here.
Me and Hammer and Hank, baby.
What do you got this week?
Actually, you'll like who I'm going to select this week.
Patriots.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the Patriots. Fairly convincing.
I'm with you, John.
Right.
I'm with you.
Well, we got to get going because we got to go do a show. John will be with you for the next 2 hours with anyone?
Me, myself, and I.
Oh, not even Eric today. All right.
Eric's off today. Did you give him the day off?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he does. All right, we'll see you tomorrow.